approval of
Recording
the
in
minister
progress.
who is a shareholder. All the committees of the board chair are operational and have been duly constituted. And out of the 23 indicators in our APP, we have managed to achieve 17, only six that were not achieved, but we will deal with those that were not achieved, and we will indicate what steps have been taken, have been taken to address, or most of them have already been addressed at any rate. So, Chair, maybe in the interest of time, I will appreciate if the Chair can allow me to hand it over to the CEO to take us through the actual report itself.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the chairperson of the portfolio committee, and good morning to the members of the portfolio committee. Good morning to DM, the chairpersons of the other boards, and to my colleagues in the administration. Chair, as the chairperson of the board has already said, that in this financial year that has just passed, we were audited for the first time by the AG. We would remember that before that we were audited by RACOMA. So the
can I request that you mute I don't know who's this person.
Hello.
Can you mute in the Qualifier, if they don't respond, please remove them on the system. They will rejoin.
I'm not sure if they are flighting our presentation, Chair.
Double Hall has flighting rights.
Yeah. Yes. So, Chair, what we will be looking at, we will look at the purpose, we will look at the executive overview and the highlights, and we'll also look at the performance overview, obviously the MTSF targets and where we are to date, and also the detailed information in terms of the performance. Then we'll do the audit outcomes and the audit action plan. We have prepared also the audit action plan, but we do understand that in terms of the 30 slides that we were given, but we said that let's just have the audit action plan ready. But I can also say, Chair, that the audit action plan that we have this financial year is a very interesting one, that all the matters that we have on the audit action plan are matters that we have already corrected. So there are no matters that we still need to correct, because there were some of them, they were just misstatements in terms of the audit when we did the audit with the auditors, and then all of those were corrected. Then we'll also then do the financial overview and the key actions and recommendations, Chair. In terms of the purpose, is to brief the Portfolio Committee on Human Settlements on the annual report of the Housing Development Agency for the 2022-2023 financial year. The chairperson has done the executive overview and in the main has covered what has happened in terms of the financial year. The other issues that we can add in that, Chair, is that based on what were the findings of the previous financial year, we had also understood that we needed to have the integrated management information systems. I can report today that we have implemented fully the integrated management information systems. We have digitized our asset management system, because you'd remember in the previous financial year, that was one of the challenges that we could not, we had a limitation of scope in terms of our asset register. So our asset register has now been digitized. All the assets are there, and then we can even see the location of the land and the landmarks just by looking at the asset, on the asset register. So we've done that, and also the document management system has been automated to make sure that
when the AG comes or anybody in 5 to 10 years will still be able to get the documents ready. And then also in terms of business continuity, we wanted to make sure, Chair, that if anything is to happen, we do not then have to suffer the fact that some of the documents have burned or something has happened. So we will have the backup of those documents in the automated document management system. So this is all that we've done in trying to make sure that from a governance and compliance point of view, we are not found wanting, Chair, when we do our audit. And in terms of the structure, Chair, our structure has been approved. The minister approved our structure. You'd remember that the last structure that was approved was in 2020, and then we've had challenges with the structure. So we are happy to say that the structure has been approved by the Honorable Minister. And where we are now is that we are implementing the structure. Part of what we wanted to look at with the new structure, Chair, was to also look at the primary mandate, because we've always had the primary mandate as part of our mandate. But because we didn't have anybody managing that part of the primary mandate, it was suffering. So we have now appointed the head of investment. We have now a position of the head of investment who will be the person who's driving the primary mandate in terms of where we should be. And you will see even in the KPIs that we did not achieve, one of those KPIs was to come up with a business plan. We could not come up with business plans because there was nobody focusing on that position. But as we speak now, of the 5 KPIs, 5 business plans that we have to do in this financial year, we've already done 2 bankable business plans. So this current employment and equity statistics just talks to where we are in terms of the staffing and also from an employment equity point of view. Let's go to the audit. On our audited organizational performance for 22-23 financial year, we've got 3 programs, Chairperson. Program 1, which deals in the main with administration. We will go to where we granularize all of this, but for now we're just talking on high level. On administration, on the KPIs, we had 8 KPIs. 6 were achieved, 2 were not achieved. When I granularize it, we will also show the ones that were not achieved, and then we will also be able to give reasons why those were not achieved. Check. And on program 2, it deals in the main with Land Assembly and PHSDAs. And then in terms of that, we had 5 KPIs. And then of the 5 KPIs, 3 of them were achieved, and then 2 were not achieved. And then on program 3 deals with informal settlement upgrading. In terms of that program, we had 10 KPIs, 8 of the KPIs were achieved, and then 2 were not achieved. So the overall performance in terms of that, Chair, we were sitting at 74% and 26% was not achieved. We know that, Chair, we still have a long way to go, but we can also add that we are moving from where our annual total target in the previous financial year was 29%. So we say that we still have a lot to do, but the trajectory seems to be going upward. So we're quite comfortable with the Chairperson. This is just the overall organizational performance. This is where we're looking at the trends and as to which where we are in each and every quarter, and then where the challenges were. So this is just telling you what we've spoken about, but in a quarterly basis. So when we go to the annual performance highlights, this is where maybe we need to look closely, Chair. You will see that in the housing units, we had a target of 3,428. We've achieved 1,433. And that is one of the issues that, Chair, I think at some point we'll have to look back and then to discuss it granular to say where are the challenges and then how do we resolve them. Because some of this sits also in the MTSF target. 1,500 hectares of land acquired in the PDAs,
We're also sitting at 993 hectares, so there's a negative variance also on that one. On the PDA, Chair, I've also looked now. I'm quite comfortable that as much as it's not an MTSF target, but I'm comfortable that the 1,500, we will be able to reach the 1,500 because we started going specifically to the departments and the provinces where we had a challenge, where they did not have the planning tribunals. We've now gone to them to assist them to say, how do we assist you to develop the planning tribunals? And we're thinking that that will be one area that will help us in the land acquisition, but also in the rezoning. So when we get to the rezoning, you will see that also that the tribunals have an impact there. But in terms of development plans for 40 priority development areas, that has been achieved. The 40 development plans have been achieved. And then on the service side, we had a target of 4,517. That target has been overly achieved. We're sitting at 4,757. And also on the title deeds, we had a target of 1,590 chapters, and we're sitting on 1,731. So we've got a positive variance there, which is also very good for us. So from the MTSF target, you will see that there's a sector target, and then there's the HDA target, and then it will give the progress in terms of where we are. There are some of the targets, Chairperson, that the sector target falls under the HDA, has been given all in all to the HDA. One of them is that of the priority development areas declared for human settlement development, we had to have 94. The target for HDA was also 94, but at least in that one we have achieved it, sitting at 136. So the development plans for all 94 priority development areas also is a target that is a sector target, and it was given to HDA. And 91 development plans for PDAs have been completed. And where the challenge is on the rezoned, 100% hectares rezoned, acquired in 2014, 2019 within PDAs. So on this one, what we are looking at is to say all the land that has been approved, that has been acquired in the PDAs, has to be rezoned. But if you look at the previous financial year, we had a target of 100. So because this target is a target that is cumulative. So in the previous financial year, our target was 50. And we did not do well on this one, Chairperson. But we will talk to that as to what is it that we are doing. As I've said, that we've also gone to the municipalities and the departments to talk to them. We've organized a conference for next week with the Department of Human Settlements in Northwest, including POGDA, because we wanted them to help us also to re-establish the municipal planning tribunals so that we can then use those tribunals for the approval of our of the rezoned land, and that will help us. The housing units, if you look at that, is 470,000. HDA had a target of 25,000. And then of the target of 25,000, we're sitting with 13,476. There are challenges there, Chair. Some of them, we will overcome them. In BCM, for example, we've got some of the housing units that had been stopped because of the investigations with the SIU. So we're comfortable now that we will achieve those ones. But there are still some of those challenges where the budget, because remember, we are a secondary implementer for the department. So some of them, it depends on the budget that we are given by the department to say that will we be able to achieve. But as of this morning, when I was looking also in Limpopo, we've got also 500 housing units that will be delivered from the finger grant. So we looked at all of those to say, at the time of the MTSF, where will we be in terms of the target? And then we're hoping that we will be able to not achieve the full target of 25, but we will be able to
make a dent on the 13 to increase on that one. But depending on whether in this financial year we will get some of the housing units, Chairperson, we're hoping that we will be able to achieve it. The one that we feel is still achievable is the service sites. HDA had a target of 23,000 service sites. We're sitting at 14,000 now, but we've got a number of UISP projects that we are dealing with specifically in the Eastern Cape, and then we're quite comfortable that we will achieve that change. And on informal settlement upgraded, formalized to phase three. Informal settlement upgraded for ours for HPA was 1,005, and we're sitting at 647. This one also, we know that in terms of the MTSF target, we will achieve that. So, Chair, the programs that we spoke to, we will look at those programs in terms of program one, which deals with administration. I think the first one that we need to look at is the unqualified audit. The target that we have been given there was to get an unqualified audit. As the chairperson of the board has said, that as the HDA, we got an unqualified audit, moving from the qualified for the previous financial years, and also having been audited by the AG, we're quite happy that it shows an improvement in terms of our governance, chairperson. So that is one that we have achieved. And we will also go down and look at the ones where, Chair, we did not achieve, so that we can then be able to say what was the challenges in terms of achieving. If you look at the percentage of annual ADA procurement spent per financial year targeted at businesses owned by military veterans, the one of the military veterans we did not achieve, Chairperson, we're sitting at 0.65. We've now tried to work closely with the Department of Military Veterans, and we're hoping, Chair, that in that way we will find a way of achieving this target. But that's the target, the one target that on the administration we're struggling with. And then when we go to program two talks to land assembly and priority development areas. So in terms of the land assembly and the priority development areas, we're looking at the well-located land acquired within the PDAs. Number of hectares of well-located land acquired within the PDAs. We had a target, Chairperson, of 1,500. We did not achieve the target. We're sitting at 933. But surely on this one, there are two issues that we're dealing with, Chairperson. One is that we're dependent mostly from the Department of Public Works to also transfer to us the PDA land. But the challenge is also from the municipalities. They do buy land, but mostly they buy land where people have already occupied as an informal settlement, and then they just formalize that settlement. And you find that when you want to move people mostly to the PDAs, it's not necessarily mostly where people will be, because they would want to be next to where they work, and then they tend to position themselves in the areas where they go for informal settlements next to where they work. So that is where we've been having the challenge with the municipalities to say, we can see that you buy land, but where you are targeting your land is not necessarily in the PDAs. So that's one issue that we've been addressing with them. And then also in the business plans of the departments, we've also been emphasizing that we look at the issue of the PDAs. But we're quite comfortable, Chairperson, that we will achieve this target, because we've been going out really to the departments and talking to them and the municipalities. The other one that is there is that of the land that has been acquired since 2014 to 2019, the PDA, that land be rezoned. This one is the biggest challenge we're sitting with in two ways, Chairperson. We did not achieve this, but as I said, because it's a target that's been growing, we're sitting at 33% in terms of the MTSF. but we should be at the end of the previous financial year, we should have been at 50%, but we didn't make the 50% check. But there are two issues, and we've raised it, Acting DG, we've raised it with the department at head office to say, we don't have the budget for the rezoning. So we're really dependent on the municipalities to say this is the land that we want to rezone. Those that we've acquired ourselves, we can't acquire them and move quickly to also rezone it. So that's the one challenge. But the biggest challenge that we're sitting with is the inconsistencies of the municipal planning tribunals. If you take, for example, in Northwest, for the longest of time, we did not have a municipal planning tribunal sitting. And then because of that, they could not then approve the rezoning of the land that we are doing. But we're having a meeting with them next week, and we're hoping that also that will assist us, because the biggest part of the land that we wanted to rezone is really mainly in the Northwest. So those are the two in the land assembly and priority development areas that we did not achieve, Chairperson. When we go to Program 3, Chairperson, deals with the program planning and design. On the program planning and design, we have achieved most of our targets. The only target that we didn't achieve is the one that deals with the housing units delivered by the HDA, the number of housing units delivered in relation to projects implemented by the HDA. That's the one where, Chair, I'm saying that we had a target of 3,228, and then of that target, we've achieved 1,433 housing. We're working with the department also to look at where else can we get more of those projects that we can implement. But also there are some of those that we have been appointed, but we could not implement because there were legal issues. And most of those issues, for example, in the Duncan Village, have been resolved. So we're quite comfortable, Chair, that we will work towards achieving that goal. Then that covers the three programs that we're dealing with. We will now go to the 2022-2023 annual audit outcome. In terms of the annual audit outcomes, Chair, we have said that we had an unqualified opinion. There were a number of bases that were raised in terms of the opinion, but I think in the main, the one that we need to focus on, Chair, was the surplus payable to National Treasury. Where the beginning, Chair, we were had this surplus, so it was said to be 1.3 billion. But we've always had a challenge between ourselves and the National Treasury in terms of the calculation of how we calculate the surplus. Fortunately for us, when we then succumbed to the way the National Treasury is calculating it, and then we accepted their calculation to be what should be the calculation. Fortunately for us, Chair, when the AG came, they did a calculation. And if you look at that one, they also said that we have overstated our liabilities. And then where they say that we've overstated our liabilities is our liabilities in relation to the National Treasury. And then when they did their calculation in terms of what our liabilities is, their liability matched exactly with us of 357 million. So there's the 357 million. And then we have since paid the 357 million back to the National Treasury, Chairperson. But I need to mention, Chair, because then it will be to say when we paid the 357 million, is the HDA then still a going concern? I can safely say here, Chair, that after we've paid the 357, because we had provided for it, the HDA is still a going concern. We are still able to pay all our debtors, and we are still able to continue as a business. And then in terms of the predetermined objectives, I am happy to say, Chair, that we did not regress on that one. We still got an unqualified opinion on the predetermined objectives. When you go to the next slide, Chair, this is just tabulating in a nutshell the audit results, but just giving them in the color coding. So where I will go, Chair, is that if you look at the one that is most critical, I guess, for me, would be the two, Chair.
The first one is the procurement and contract management. If you look at the procurement and contract management, you will see that it has been pink. I think that color is pink, Chair. It's pink. It's been pink, which was the material findings. But if you look at it now, we are sitting on green. That is giving us comfort, Chair, to say that we have managed to turn the corner in terms of the procurement and the supply chain. If you look at the revenue management, you will see that the revenue management in 2021-2022 was also the material finding, and then that we have improved in terms of revenue management. You would remember that there were a number of issues that were raised in our previous audit in terms of revenue management. So we have also turned the corner there, Chairperson. We are now sitting with an unqualified and no material findings on revenue management. And then the last one, which is the most critical, Chair, is if you look at the last block, it was in the previous financial year, it was material finding. Also, it was pink in color. And if you look at that now on the constraints management, is that we are sitting now on green. And this has also assisted us, Chairperson, in terms of the next slide. Because when you look at the next slide, you will see that we had five financial years, where we have accumulated the irregular expenditure, and then the whole irregular expenditure was not fully managed in terms of the irregular expenditure framework. So we implemented the irregular expenditure framework, and we implemented that, and part of what we needed to do was to then take those who were found to be on the wrong, to take them for consequence management. We have done that, Chairperson, and then the AG wanted to detail each one of them, where who was charged, what was the charge, what was the outcome, and all of that. So in all of those, we finalized that process, Chairperson. We are obviously still reporting to National Treasury on a quarterly basis in terms of the progress with those that were charged as to what is the outcome of their cases. But we can safely say, Chairperson, that the issue of the irregular expenditure for the previous 5 years has been resolved and condoned. I must also say, Chairperson, that in this financial year that is under review, the HDA did not have new irregular expenditure. The irregular expenditure that we incurred in the previous financial year was as a result of the chemical trailers, which was an existing contract that we had, but because it was a continuing contract and we could not stop it at that time, given the sensitivity of the chemical trailers being very central to human rights, we then said, let's then do the process of appointing, of re-advertising and appointing a new service providers that were then appointed properly, and that process has been finalized. Even the chairperson of the board has signed. The process is now done. What we will then do now is to start to implement this coming week, Chair. So the irregular expenditure has now been stopped, because now going forward, the companies have been appointed properly. So we are comfortable with the progress there, Chair. Chair, we now get into the prior year audit findings of 2020-2021. If you look at those, Chair, I will not go through each one of them, because they are all in all 36. But what I will say, Chair, is that of the 36 findings of the previous financial year, I can safely report that we've got all the 35 of them been resolved. We looked at them, we worked with the AG now, and then we resolved all of them, and they are happy with that. The only one that is still not resolved, Chairperson, is the CIDB gateway review. But the CIDB gateway review is because we were waiting for National Treasury, because we applied to them to say, look, we are a secondary implementer. By the time the department comes to us, or the municipality comes to us, they say to us, we want you to build us a water treatment plant. But at that time, they would have done their feasibility study themselves to say, do they need a water treatment plan? What capacity do they need, and all of that? So that information, we can only do a due diligence to say, was this information done? And then we take it from there. But our process is just the middle part of the gateway review. And then the other part, after the water treatment plant has been built, also goes back to the municipality in terms of, now you've got an asset, how are you going to maintain the asset? What are you going to do with the asset going forward? So that part also goes out. So we are only involved in the middle of the gateway steps. So what we've asked the National Treasury is that, can we be allowed to only focus on the part that we deal with, and then obviously just do a due diligence of the part that was done before, the pre-feasibility part. And then we've now reached the point where they've allowed us to say, do an SOP, let's see where you fit in and then what you want to do. So we're hoping that this one matter that is left, Chair, will be resolved at the end of the financial year. And then given that in this financial year, we had just misstatements, which all of them have been corrected, we're hoping that our audit action plan will be green when we go for the audit of this financial year. Because as it stands now, we've got only one matter that is still yellow, which means it's in progress, and is this one of the CIDB. Thank you, Chair. Chair, if you would allow me, the CFO is online. The CFO will take us through the financial report. CFO.
Thank you very much, CE, and good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. Chair, when we look at the statement of financial position for the 2022-23 financial year, in terms of our assets, there were no major changes. So the variance is only 1 million. And then when we come to current assets, you will see that how we presented previously is different, because now we needed to separate the transactions where the HDA is involved in a principal agent transactions, and those are mainly dependent on the land acquisition. So you will see, for example, on the cash and cash equivalent, as well as cash and cash equivalent for principal agents. So we needed to separate those. And we had also the concurrence of the AG in terms of how we are reporting. So therefore, it means everything that has to do with principal agents, those relating to the land acquisition that the HDA is doing on behalf of the principals or the provincial government that is giving us those instructions. And then under the receivables, we do an increase in the receivables from exchange transactions. That is mainly due to the Eskom and the SABC property, which was purchased, but it was still in transit to be transferred to the HDA. So therefore, the amount of 106 million, it was still sitting with the conveyances. Then also the receivables from exchange transactions, it's mainly driven by the management fees for the year and the bank interest that is receivable at the end of the financial year. And then also focusing also on the funds held in the trust conveyances, these are all the land that is still in transit to be transferred, or the sale agreement to be finalized. And that amounts to 457 million. And we needed to also restate the 2022 financial year figures to 389 million. And then when we look at the item number 17, which is project obligations, this is mainly dependent on the project funding, which we receive from the provincial department. And this reflects the balance that was outstanding at the end of the year. And then item 18, which is payable to National Treasury, the CE alluded to this, and this is the provision that we have made. 2022, it was 195 million, and for 2023, therefore, it amounted to 395 million. And we can safely say that in this financial year, in September 2023, we have returned an amount of 367 million to the National Treasury, and we're hoping that the issue of the retention of the surplus for 2021-22 financial year has been resolved. The next slide. And then Chair, when we look at the statement of financial performance, the revenue, we have revenue amounting to 476 million, and revenue from non-exchange transactions. This is mainly the conditional operational grant that received from the department, amounting to 242 million. And also for the revenue from exchange transaction, it consists mainly of the provincial support. So this is the conditional grant that we're receiving from the provincial department. And in the main, we have received from the provinces also for the funding of the PhDA, as well as funds for PRASA relocation costs. And also during the financial year, we have received funds for emergencies where the agency needed to respond accordingly to provide the necessary measures and assist the affected households with emergency accommodation. Now, in terms of the project management fee, we realized the management fee and from mainly Gauteng and Eastern Cape on the UISP project. And this is mainly on the program and the acting as a program and fund manager. Then when we look at the expenditure, operational expenditure, we have listed the cost drivers there, which mainly legal disputes is one of our highest cost driver, the audit fees, as well as the consulting fees on strategic initiative projects. And then when we look at land-related costs, the increase is mainly driven by the additional land purchases that we are being requested to acquire. And that it mainly consists of the valuation costs, rates and taxes, security and maintenance costs, and as well as the technical and the project services, mainly of some of the a capital CAPEX figures that were in the MTOP, and then now we have moved it to CAPEX, moved it away from the MTOP. The next slide. And then on the comparison of the actual versus the budget, Chair, here I would like to just highlight on the province support conditional grant. Because if you look at what we budgeted to receive, we budgeted to receive 178 million. However, we only received 165 million. So this is mainly due to the provincial department plans that changes during the year. And you find that the Limpopo and Northwest reduced their budget accordingly. So we actually received less funds than anticipated. And otherwise, Chair, I think I have presented other items. Thank you very much. See, I'll hand over to you.
Thank you. Thank you, CFO. Chairperson, here we are really just talking to the key actions to cement gains in the 23-24 MTF. MTF. You would remember, Chair, that when we started, we went and looked at what are the pillars that we want to work towards and make sure that we achieve our goals. And the one pillar was the mandate. In terms of the mandate, we wanted to see how fully can we achieve the primary mandate so that we can also be able to have HDA sitting as a sustainable business, specifically given the fact of what the CFO has raised now to say the HDA is mostly dependent on the other departments giving them work. And then at times they promise us to say, we will give you this work and you'll do that, and we put it in our APP. And then in the middle of the financial year, they changed that. So that is one of the issues that we wanted to look at the mandate to say, for the independence and sustainability of HDA, we need to look at the primary mandate. And also the issues of governance, Chairperson, we're still working on our governance.
because we are working towards getting an unqualified without matters. So that's one issue that we're looking at. The issue of sustainability is tying to our secondary and the primary mandate. Chairperson, the issue of the people and structure. We're struggling as the HDA because to retain the staff. Because remember, how we employ is also related to the MTOP. And then at times when you get a 3-year MTOP, the challenge with that is that someone can't leave a permanent job to come to HDA for a 3-year position. So we are talking to that to say, how do we make sure that we have a structure that will be able to attract people and also make sure that we are seen as the best employer of choice. So that's what we're still working on. Issues of processes and systems, Chair, we've implemented most of those, but we're still going ahead because what we wanted to do, Chair, is to make sure that we become a paperless institution, and that's what we're working on. You would remember, Chair, that the number of times in the papers and so forth, the issue of the perception about the HDA has been raised, and then we've taken it upon ourselves to say part of what we need to do is to also engage with the departments, engage with other stakeholders, so that there's an understanding of where HDA is and then what the role of HDA is, so that also the perception, we can manage the perception that was out there about the HDA and make sure that we change that to be a positive perception. So I think in terms of that, Chair, the recommendation is just for the portfolio committee to consider and approve the presentation on the annual report of the Housing Development Agency for 2022-2023 financial year. I will now hand over to the chairperson of the board. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members, as well as the Deputy Minister. I think we, in the interest of time, everything has been covered. Maybe we can now request the chairperson to lead us in terms of if there's any comments or questions at the right time when the chairperson will feel so, then we'll respond to that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair of the HDA and the CEO. Can we then proceed to Pran?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members of the committee and colleagues. Good morning, Deputy Minister, Chairpersons of the sister agencies and the CEOs. My name is Stephen Ngubeni. I am leading the delegation from PPRA. We are presenting to you today the annual reports of our inaugural year 2022-2023. This is the first year that the PPRA really came into existence. We come into existence clearly with a baptism of fire, inheriting a lot of challenges from our erstwhile organization. That includes, amongst others, the need to conduct a forensic investigation into the activities of the organization, which led to disciplinary processes and the expulsion of some of the employees that were found in the wrong. We come from an era that I would term an era of deception and low staff morale. Low staff morale that would have been brought about by a number of factors, including the fact that there was a culture of impunity in the organization in the past. So in this year that we are reporting on, we had to grapple with all of those things. You would recall that we came in here with a number of vacancies in the executive position that we had to fill. And indeed, the last conversation we had with the committee was that those positions must be filled so to set the organization on the right path to stability. I'm excited to report today that those executive positions have all been filled, left for one position of the CEO, who was expelled as a result of the forensic investigation and the disciplinary process. This position is due to be filled in no time. The advert closed 2 days ago, and we're in the process of finalizing the recruitment. The challenges that the organization faced with that I tried to highlight, they still persist. However, we find joy in that we understand what those challenges are, and we do have a plan to deal with those challenges. And we have been dealing with these challenges throughout the financial year under review. It's even becoming better in the following year, which is the current financial year, as we solidify our interventions. We have made in the year under review significant milestones, Chairperson, and that includes the establishment of the Property Research Center in partnership with NRF and others. We have established the Transformation Fund, albeit some challenges. The property sector transformation fund has been established as mandated by the new legislation that came into operation in the same financial year that we are reviewing. The vacancies I have spoken to and the recruitment of the CEO I have spoken to. With all this, we have for the three entities under our control, the PPRA, the Fidelity Fund, and the Property Transformation Fund have attained 2 unqualified audit opinion and 1 qualified audit opinion for the year under review, the details of which I would invite the CEO to speak to, and I will partake in the clarity-seeking questions or comments at a later stage. Thank you very much, Chairperson. On that note, I invite the CEO, acting of the PBRA.
Thank you, Chairperson of the Board. Good morning, Chair, Deputy Minister, members of the Portfolio Committee, Acting DG, Chairpersons of entities and colleagues. My name is Tatorama Idi, and I will be taking you through the presentation today. I will be taking you through the purpose of this presentation, the executive overview and the performance outcomes of the 2022-2023. And then I will invite the CFO to take us through the financial performance as well as their audit outcome. And then I will come and close for us. And the purpose of this presentation is to present to the Portfolio Committee of Human Settlements the annual report of both the group and authority for the 2022-2023 financial year. Our highlights, as the chairperson has alluded to, has to do with the Property Sector Research Center, which I will not belabor the point, and also the new organizational structure that the chairperson spoke to. And what I believe it is worth noting is the notable improvement in the PPRA's performance achieved in Q4 of the 2022-2023 financial year, which has improved by a significant of 68% from a dismal of 12% in the first quarter of the year. And in the spirit of transparency, Chairperson and members, I believe that it is worth noting, again, the challenges that we face as an entity during the year under review. I came on board at the tail end of Q4 and inherited an entity which was in a turbulent state. came to despondent staff, and my priority with the support of the ministry and the board was to firstly stabilize both the environment and that of the ICT infrastructure. I am confident that the worst is now behind us. I do concede that the performance depicted here today is dismal, sitting at 33%. But the entity has turned the tide in Q4, and we have continued on that trajectory in both Q1 and Q2 of the current financial year. During the audit season, we experienced an industrial action, which resulted in some staff withholding their tools of trade. But nonetheless, we were still able to respond to the AG findings within a reasonable time frame. We finally appointed the CFO, Evert Potgieter, mid-audit, which he will be taking us through the financial component today. On that note, this is the performance for the year, and I will take the chairperson and members through the programs and stating reasons for the underachievement.
Your voice is diminishing, CFO, CEO.
Sorry about that. I was saying on the chair, I will state reasons for the reasons for the underachievement in the various programs. And then also just give a high-level planned corrective measures. So on program one, which is under finance and administration, we had 11 targets, but only 4 were met. And the reasons for this underachievement was that the policies were only approved in March of 2023. And most of the output of program one with the implementation of the plans, namely the risk management plan, the stakeholder implementation plan, as well as the HR implementation plan. But all the policies have been completed in Q3, and targeting approval of these policies in Q4, so that we are able to start a financial year with approved policies and implementation plans. And also, I wanted to advice to the members and the chair that the procurement of the ERP system has finally been done. This was concluded 2 days ago at 12 o'clock noon. And also the diagnosis of the current system has been done, and a service provider has been appointed so that we can assist the challenges that have been emanating from our ICT challenges. Under program two, which is licensing and compliance, the reason for this underachievement of the, we only achieved one target out of the 2 targets. Again, it was due to delays in the configuration of the ICT system to register and issue FFCs to all categories of new subsectors of property practitioners. But I have mentioned that a service provider has been appointed, and we will be onboarding the various subsectors, starting with the managing agents and then phasing in all the 9 subsectors of the property practitioners. Under program 3, which is inspection and enforcement, one of the 3 targets was met. To chair these disciplinary hearings, but under the new dispensation, we are now appointing adjudicators. So it was just a slight delay in phasing the act and implementing it. But
is the CEO driving somewhere, Chair, because the voice goes with the air or with the wind?
No, Chair. Member, sorry, I'm not driving. I am sitting in the office, so apologies about that. But I was saying that a slight delay was in phasing in the new act, but the panel members' appointments have been completed in Q2, and the hearings have begun. In program 4 is the research and professionalization and training. 2 of the 5 targets have been met. And here the underachievement was as a result of the implementation of the skills development plan, which required identification of pivotal skills within the property sector, which was coordinated by services CETA, and also required internal skills development initiatives within the PPRA. But there have been stakeholder engagement in this regard. And then under transformation, none of the targets were met under the year under review. And some of the challenges was that no learners were placed in the fiscal year 2021-2022. And as a result, the retention of these learners could not be calculated. And the PPRA has worked, we have reworked the SMME model. And this SMME incubation program, the bid did go out with a closing date of the 31st of October of this year. Members, this is just the performance summary of the year under review and also under the PPRA. So of the 21 KPIs, only 7 were met, and I have stated the reasons for this underperformance. And then under the PPRA, which was only for the 2 months of the 2021-2022 year, 2 of the 13 KPIs were met. I will take the members through the programs, but I'm zooming in on the programs where we did not achieve. So for the, we had planned for a qualified, unqualified audit opinion with no material findings, but a qualified opinion with material findings was the audit opinion. And the CFO later will give reasons and also the audit implementation plan on how the entity will improve on this finding moving forward. Still under program one, our finance and administration, we had planned for 100% implementation of the approved risk management, as well as the implementation of the fraud prevention plan, as I had alluded earlier. But we have only achieved 75% respectively on the two programs, but this will change moving forward. And then the target, which is a national target, which is the 5% of our procurement spend to be allocated to enterprises owned by people with disabilities, we have only been able to achieve 0.5%, but we have put measures in place so that we are intentional in seeking businesses that are owned by people with disabilities so that we are able to improve on performance on this target. Still under program one is the implementation of the approved human resource management plan. And like the chairperson spoke to this item earlier, the percentage is sitting at a slightly higher percentage because of the capacitation that took place in the latter part of Q1 and Q2, especially with the vacancy filling of the C-suite and critical positions. Still under program one is a 70% implementation of the PPRA stakeholder management plan that we had planned. We only achieved 50.3%, but then again, in the current financial year, there has been a significant improvement as well in this program, largely due to the appointment of a stakeholder engagement individual who is heading up this department to ensure that we are visible and we are fulfilling our mandate as the PPRA. And then the following program, we have planned for an 80% of consumer queries resolved within 90 days. And we fell just under 2% from this plan. And this is due to the system downtime that we experienced in the quarter. Program two talks to the licensing and compliance. We had planned to register 9,000 new property practitioners to be registered on our database. And this is the new subsector, but only 6,548 new property practitioners of real estate agents have been updated on our database. But I did highlight what we have done as an entity to ensure that we do catch up in the next two quarters with this target. There has been an executive who has been appointed heading up the licensing and registrations and new application business unit to ensure that this target we are able to meet before the end of this financial year. The next program, three, is of inspection and enforcement. We were scheduled to complete 75% of the investigations that result in disciplinary hearings. But I did speak earlier of the new dispensation and what is required with the adjudications. So this program, we 6% underachieved, as well as the 100% of disciplinary outcomes that were not enforced, because this target directly correlates with the one before of the adjudicators. The next program around is program four, which talks to the research professionalization and training. We had planned to implement 100% of the skills development plan, but none of it was achieved in the previous financial year or the year under review. But I'm happy to report that in the current year, we did make strides in this program. And then still under program four, we had planned to place 2,000 candidate property practitioners with industry host employers through the One Learner, One Practitioner program. So for a greater part of the 2021-2022 year, there was a vacancy in that department. So none of the programs really were kickstarted. So the 437 that is achieved, we were able to implement only in the fourth quarter of the year under review. And I did alert earlier that Services CETA had stepped down with their partnership with the PPRA, but we have since resuscitated that relationship, and they have been offering again, once again, stipends so that we are able to achieve this target that we have set. And in the current financial year, we have exceeded the target particularly in this program. And then also the retention rate, that couldn't be established because there were no practitioners or candidate property practitioners placed through the One Learner, One program in the year under review, which resulted in zero performance for this target. And then program five around transformation, we had planned to have the property sector transformation fund established. We did establish and open up the bank account in this program, but when AG came and audited us, they were of the view that we opened up the bank account without first notifying the National Treasury approval. We did subsequently get the approval, but they still flagged it as target not achieved, which we conceded to. And then the program around the 300 full status Black women that have been supported through the principalization program, none were placed in the year under review, but once again, we have placed several women, I think over 80 women through this principalization program in Q1 with the appointment of the Transformation Fund manager. And then the last target is around the SMMEs owned by historically disadvantaged groups that were placed through the incubation program. This was also a late implementation where we had to finalize the modalities and take it through the board. which has since been done, but unfortunately, again, it was only done in this current financial year, and this target will be met still in Q3 with the bid closing on the 31st of October. Through you, Chair, I would like to now hand over to the CFO, Evert Potgieter, to take us through the financial performance of both the PPRA, the Fidelity Fund, and the Property Sector Transformation Fund. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning to committee members and fellow colleagues. If we look at the financial position as depicted on the presentation, like the CE alluded to, the group is then comprising of the PPRA, the Fidelity Fund, and the Property Sector Transformation Fund. We will see on a group level that there's been an increase. If we look at the net asset value, it increased from 731 million to 767 million. It can be attributed to a surplus in the Fidelity Fund of 52 million and a loss in the regulatory authority of 15 million. This is referenced later in the document, but this is just an overview in terms of a financial position and the net assets of a group. We then go into a little bit more detail on this slide in terms of the current assets of a group. We can see there in 2022, the total current assets was at 562 million. It increased to 795 million. And this increase of 253 million can mainly be attributed, and members will see there's a constant reference back to this other financial assets in the Fidelity Fund, as well as the deferred revenue emanating from the three-year FFT certificate that came about due to a change in the legislation. But the 253, there was a movement in the Fidelity Fund other financial assets. In 2022, these assets were invested in long-term investments that matured, and then were invested in short-term investments in the year under review. Receivables from non-exchange increased from 11 to 77 million due to penalties raised both in the authority as well in the Fidelity Fund. And then a comment in terms of cash and cash equivalents that increased from 17 to 103 million is then the reference to the change in the Act, whereby Fidelity Fund certificates are now valid for a three-year period instead of a one-year period. Thank you. The non-current assets, again, references made if we look at the movement column. A big movement of 123 million due to those investments that matured in the Fidelity Fund and that were invested in short-term funds. So it's the link between the two slides. Thank you. If we can move to the next slide, please. Oh, we have moved to the next slide. Sorry, apologies. The liabilities of a group are depicted on this slide. We can see total liabilities of 167 million versus 95 million in the previous period. In terms of current liabilities, there's a 8.5 million movement from 83 million to 91 million. And non-current, we have a movement from 12 million to 75 million. We have referenced the impact of a deferred revenue due to the change in the Act of a three-year FFC certificate being issued. And there's also reference made to the 1.7 million change in post-medical aid benefit obligation. We're just making the note there to say that when we look at the numbers, we need to look at both current and non-current liabilities on this employee benefit obligation. We have reference in terms of the 37 million increase in the net assets. So please, if we can move to the next slide. Here we are depicting the current assets of the authority on its own. Current assets increased by 54 million from the 87 million we see recorded there to 141 million. And it mainly came about due to a decrease in the intercompany loan account. The Fidelity Fund settled its outstanding management fees with the PPRA. And receivables from non-exchange increased from 19 to 53 million due to penalties raised in the PPRA. We have referenced the reason for the increase in the cash and cash equivalents being the change in the legislation to issue 3-year FSC certificates. Thank you. Again, here it's just the non-current and non-current liabilities of the authority itself. And again, the reason for the movement from 93 million or 94 million to 162 million is an increase of 68 million in the deferred revenue relating to the FFC, 3-year FFC certificates. If we can move, well, look, yeah, we can talk to it about it on this slide as well. In terms of a financial performance, we are concerned in terms of on the authority level that we've registered a deficit for the financial year of 15 million. It compares to a deficit of 9 million for the 2 months period in the previous year. On a group level, we're looking better, but that is as a result of a Fidelity Fund that's enhancing the results of a group. If we can move to the next slide, please. Revenue from exchange, revenue from non-exchange. We will also deal with this issue when we look at the audit qualifications. But again, what we're saying there, we look at the budget versus actual amounts, and we can report that there's been a variance, a positive variance of 15.6 million in terms of our original budget. It is fair just to say that also when we looked at, or when the original budget was compiled, it was on the basis that the other property practitioners, other groups of property practitioners will be onboarded. So we're missing the revenue there. That's why we've got a negative variance on the revenue from exchange transactions. But by the same token, we also realize savings in costs associated with onboarding those categories, resulting then in a net surplus positive variance of 15 million. If we look at the cash flow from operating activities, we can see that there's been, obviously we're not comparing yearly equivalents, it's a 2 month period versus a 12 month period, but we can see that from a cash flow point of view, mainly due to the 3-year FSC certificate collections that we realized, we're looking fairly positive on a cash flow position. Thank you. If we then move to the audit outcomes, if we can just reference the entities in the group, the PPRA itself received a qualified opinion, Fidelity Fund an unqualified opinion, and the Property Sector Transformation Fund also managed to secure an unqualified audit opinion. Chair, on this, these slides that follow, we've listed in more, a little bit more detail the audit outcomes. Item one is one of the biggest concerns for us, because there are legacy issues embedded in this qualification. We have developed a strategy, implementation plan, etc., that we will discuss with our audit committee, the board, and the auditor general in terms of how we will move forward in dealing with this qualification. We expect that a considerable amount of time and effort will be required to actually clear this qualification. We will start with a data cleanup exercise and the splitting of our accounts between exchange and non-exchange. And then we will also, critical to our success, will also be system enhancements to see to what extent we can actually automate some of those processes. It is a repeat finding, and we have noted there that we believe a due date for resolving this will be the end of the next financial year, being 31 March 2025. As a team, we will obviously see what progress we can make for the next audit, which is for the year ended March 2024. Board and audit committee remuneration, that's not in line with the National Treasury guidelines. The board will there petition the minister on the remuneration structure applicable to the PPRA. And we will implement based on the outcome thereof. Completeness of a number of property practitioners registered on the database of PPRA could not be verified to the physical fidelity fund certificates. And it's really a system enhancement issue that we need to address to make sure that the relevant information is readily accessible. Thank you. In terms of a limitation of scope faced when testing an AOPO indicator, again, we will go back and see what we need to do to make sure that the information is available in the format that will assist the audit process thereof. Non-compliance with the BEE Act, Chair, that is precisely what it's saying. It's a non-compliance issue. And we will make sure that we obtain the necessary BEE certificate and submit the relevant information to the commissioner. Internal audit charter not approved. Again, that's a compliance issue that should be readily or easily resolvable. If we can move to the next slide. Thank you. In terms of the SEM policy, minimum number of days prescribed in the policy, Chair, here references made to our request for quotation processes, because obviously when it comes to tenders, it's legislated what the minimum tender days should be. There is provision to be able to vary those dates, but it's basically, it's dealing with requests for quotations to ensure that there's a fair, equitable, transparent process that's followed from a procurement perspective. In terms of number 8, the extension of contracts that were not approved, the key to that is the contracts register that needs to be updated, and that will facilitate the early identification of contracts that's nearing its maturity date, to enable the requesting unit to initiate the procurement processes in a timely basis. Where we can, we will also follow the request for quotation processes. We have issued a few tenders already. We will apply to the minister to issue a few more tenders to address our concerns. Most of these tenders are not, it's not new or additional cost to the organization. It's just contracts that have expired or were found irregular for some reason, and that we want to regularize by following a tender process. Where applicable and possible, we will also join transversal contracts. We've already initiated processes to join two transversal contracts at the moment. Then the SARS exemption certificate is also a non-compliance issue that we should be able to address relatively easily. Thank you, Chair. That's a presentation from my side.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, CFO. That is the presentation on our finance matters. And what I also wanted to give comfort to the members is that there has been an audit implementation plan that will address the issues as highlighted by the CFO. And some of the recommendations that were given by AG have already been implemented before they left the premises. And as I have stated in my opening remarks, is that the entity really has turned the tide into four, and it may not be depicted here today because we are presenting the year under review. If I may add that the overall morale of the staff has significantly improved, which has resulted in improvement in performance. So through you, Chair, I don't know if the chairperson of the board has any closing remarks on our presentation, but thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair of the committee, and thank you, CE, as well as the CFO for the presentation. We request that the portfolio committee notes and approves the annual report of the PPRA for the financial year 2022-2023. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair and the CE and the CFO for the presentation. We'll now go to the CISOs. We welcome the Chair and the CEO.
Honorable Chairperson, Mr. Minya, and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, Operations Team from Parliament, Honorable Deputy Minister of Human Settlements, Ms. Pam Chwete, Acting DG of the Human Settlements and the team from the Human Settlements, fellow chairpersons of sister entities, CEOs of entities, good morning. My name is Pindile Mthethwa. I'm the chairperson of the Board of the Community Schemes Ombud Service and presenting our annual performance report for 22-23 financial year. Myself and our acting chief ombud, Ms. Thembelihle Mbatha, and our acting chief financial officer, Mr. Masasubona Nhlongwana. As the board, we have continued, Chair, to exercise oversight over the operations of the CISOs. And this year was our first full year that we had been at the helm of the organization. The focus was on the improved efficiencies and realignment of the organizational resources through our organizational redesign project and the implementation of the business automation system, which sought to digitalize our services and increase our and improve our service to the community schemes, as well as the billing of schemes which had not been done in the past. There was also a focus on increasing the visibility of the CISOs and increasing efforts in transforming this community scheme sector. Despite the disruptions that we experienced as the result of the three major projects, namely the organizational design project, the business automation system, the changes in the revenue collection, the CISO still managed to post a 71% performance against the targets. These projects, although they were still in their infancy, still enabled the CISOs to post a 29% increase in revenues as a result of 76% of registered schemes paying their levies. This project also helped us increase our operational efficiencies, and we saw that our expenditure to budget moved to 84% compared to 61% in the previous year. We also improved our operational efficiencies when we improved the previous year's backlogs, and we completely eradicated those backlogs, making sure that there was nothing left behind from previous years that we had not conciliated or adjudicated on. As a result of all these efforts, we received an unqualified audit with some findings. The Chief Ombud will speak to that and will expatiate as well on the audit plan that we have put in place to ensure that the coming year doesn't have the same result. We further established two more satellite offices to increase points of access and visibility for the CISOs in areas where we had no representation. And also in the areas where we knew that the schemes would not be able to access us online. I will now hand over, Chair, to the Acting Chief Ombud to delve further on our 22-23 annual report. Thank you. Ms. Thembele Hlembata.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning once again to the Honourable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Honourable Deputy Minister, as well as our fellow colleagues in the department and the DG. I will switch on my camera just to save on the broadband and share the presentation. We will cover the purpose of the presentation as the Chair has already covered in her opening remarks, and an executive overview. Our performance outcomes, financial performance is quite short, so I'll go through that as well together with the audit opinion. On the organizational performance on our executive overview, the Chair has already highlighted that we've coordinated the organizational design. This is to make the CISOs fit for purpose with regard to our operations as well as the resources. So that has been finalized in the current financial year. And to touch on scheme governance, looking at how we performed in the previous year, we have registered 288 more schemes than we did in the previous financial year. And we've quality assured 465 more scheme governance documentations. These are the rules that the schemes manage themselves under, as well as how they operate. So that has improved looking back at the previous financial year. The scheme compliance, we've monitored compliance of schemes. Out of the 1,213 newly registered schemes, 60% of them are compliant and submitted both their governance documents and financial statements. In the current climate, we know issues such as levies, disputes, and all of that are related to these, but schemes are showing an improvement. And 74% of the schemes we have in our database are paying their levies. In terms of dispute resolution, we've improved our turnaround times, and I'll touch on that when we get into the performance. But moreover, we've cleared the backlog that we had on outstanding disputes in the second quarter of the financial year. And we've adjudicated 68% of what we have received and conciliated 27% more than what we have done in the previous financial year. Our IT systems have improved. We have contracted CISOs Connect, a service provider called Interfile, that is doing our business automation, trying to get ourselves visible on the net to ensure that we are able to register schemes on time live while we are processing the forms that we have also manually. And the other modules are set to go live in the current financial year that we're in. So the module that is active is the registration of schemes. Our CISOs levy, since we've introduced billing in the current financial year, in the year that we are looking at, the annual report, we've seen an increase in correspondence from schemes in terms of reconciling their outdated accounts, and it led to an increase of our levy bill as compared to the previous financial year. Looking at transformation in the sector, we finalized the intake of our previously disadvantaged executive managing agents. So we've totaled a total of 22 EMAs in the year under review, bringing the total to 51 in the year under review. And we missed the target by about a few executive managing agents that we could not place. So we've placed about three in these schemes that are in distress. These are schemes that are unable to manage their affairs. We've been able to allocate executive managing agents in that regard. When we look at the overall performance of the CSOS compared to the previous year in the current annual report, we have dropped slightly to 71%, although we've kept it above the threshold of performance. Program one, which is our administrative program, we've not achieved about five targets there. Program two, which is our regulation and disputes in program three, we've not achieved two targets and one target, but I will touch on those ones when we get into the detailed performance. There is that 11% decrease in performance as compared to the previous year, but these are matters that are really beyond our control, but we have reviewed our APP to ensure that we are able to measure ourselves and have control of the targets going forward. So with regards to anti-fraud and corruption, we've implemented that 100%, as well as our risk management plan. This is to improve, to ensure that the CSOS is compliant, as well as mitigating our risks and mitigating fraud in the organization. So we've achieved those targets. When we look at the implementation of the internal audit plan, we've achieved all that we had set out to do in the financial year. However, those targets that I indicated were beyond our control that resulted in that 11% decrease is the two core business automation phases that are needed to be implemented in this new solution that we're looking at. These are now set to be done in the current financial year, and these are the two modules that we'll be looking at schemes being able to populate their information online in this new system that we have. We have successfully managed to upgrade our Sage ERP, and we've completed that in the financial year under review. However, what we've lacked in is the procurement of our electronic content management document system. This is the system that will allow us to have all our records electronically so and have a central repository, especially of all of our adjudication orders and all the information that is integrated within the CSOS system. But this project will be finalized in the current financial year. Some of the targets that the chair has also touched on was us being visible and also being closer to our community scheme so that they are able to reach us, was the opening of our transactional sites in Bulukwane and George. And we have been able to achieve that. We're still continuing with this project based on the feasibility study, getting closer to the people on the ground. And we've achieved our milestone on the HR plan, and as highlighted on the CSOS levy. So we are increasing in our levies. We're seeing more compliance from the schemes going forward. The targets that were impacted by measures beyond our control were those of the spending on targeted procurement, which was targeted procurement on women, businesses owned by the youth, as well as businesses owned by people living with disabilities. We were shy of achieving those targets of 6% there in women and under by 7% and about 3.99% on the people living with disabilities. We were impacted by the regulation suspensions in quarter four, the Treasury regulations, and when we were looking at the triple PFA regulations that came in, but we are remedying that, and we are engaging in particularly the department as well as the civil society with people living with disabilities to have them engage in developing databases together with those of youth and businesses owned by women. Further to that, we have just fallen shy also of registration of community schemes that had submitted their information to us. You'll recall, Chair, that we've indicated that we went live on our electronic system for registrations. However, we experienced some system challenges towards the end of the fourth quarter of the year. We could have achieved our 100%. However, we had some glitches there where we could not upload certain registration documents, and it was about 19 of those in the entire population of 1,232. So I've highlighted that schemes are compliant and our database of governance documents has been established. So we are managing and monitoring and reviewing these rules for constitutional alignment as well. And with quality assured scheme governance documentation, and also with Section 10, the developers, any development that is opened in the country, we ensure that they submit their Section 10 applications and approval. We have an MOU with CIPC when they open and register these schemes, that they're also compliant with the CISO. So that has been working well for us, and we've improved on the target. That is part of what is in our overachievements. And we have taken note of these overachievements, that the capacity that we now have in place is actually working, and we'll be looking at revising these upwards in the MTF, in the new MTF cycle. On disputes assessed within 30 days, so we've improved in terms of our turnaround times that the chair has touched. We are assessing our disputes within 30 days. So we've achieved the disputes conciliated also within 90 days. So we are looking at achieving those within the set timeframes of our service standards. We're also adjudicating our disputes, those that are referred to adjudication, within 90 days. And we also assure these quality adjudication orders. We quality assure these adjudication orders because some take them on review on the court processes, but if we have our quality control processes intact within the CISOs, we are able to then curb some of these adjudication orders that are subsequently taken on review, and we've done well on those particular targets. Part of our mandate in Program 3 is training and education of our stakeholders. We have trained 103 training sessions, which is more than our target. We are looking at also having specific training programs for the different stakeholders, homeowners, trustees, as well as the other role players, our managing agents, specific training aligned to that. So we will be revising our targets upwards as well in the coming MTF. And we have trained our adjudicators and conciliators. We continue to train those. We've held overachieved again on stakeholder information sessions. We want the CISOs to be out there, people to know about the CISOs and know about the service that is available to them. So that has resulted in an increase in our stakeholder awareness sessions. And we've also implemented 100% of our advocacy plan. With regards to the PDIs that I had touched on earlier, our previously disadvantaged individuals that we are training as executive managing agents, we have not achieved in terms of what we had planned to recruit in the financial year, but we are remedying that because of the applications not being compliant and looking at our requirements. We have put the word out there. We also will be collaborating with the PPRA in terms of getting their list or their database of previously disadvantaged property practitioners who are managing agents who would be interested in the space of managing these schemes. Looking at the finances, it's only two slides, which I'll go through quite quickly. Our CFO, Masa, is on the line for the comments and questions that will come thereafter. As CISOs, we've been underperforming in terms of our expenditure, so we haven't been spending our estimated budget accordingly, but there has been a slight improvement in administration. We had been underexpending by about 81 million in the previous year. We've improved, although there is still an underspending in that particular year, to 51 million. And then for regulation, we had set out to spend 117 million. We only spend 101, and there's underspending of about 15 million there, but it's an improvement. As you look at the prior year, we were underspending by about 35 million. And on education and training, we've also estimated or set out to spend 18 million. There we spent about 15 million, and the under expenditure is about 3 million in the current year. But this has been a mixture of also providing online training versus the training and education that is physical. So we've saved on some costs there for physical training, as well as we are using a hybrid model. When we look at our levy income, where the income comes from, we've improved quite significantly and overachieved on the levy income. So we are getting our schemes to comply, pay over their levies. And we have received in the current year our government grant from the department. And we'll see this grant reduce going forward, because we are actually, from a financial sustainability, doing quite well as a CISOs. And we've gained some interest as a result on that one. And other income is just minor. We'll see a discontinuation in this other income line, because we've done away, we've waived those 50 rands that people needed to pay to get their matters adjudicated. I think the levies are sufficient for people to be able to access our service without having to pay an additional 50 rand to get their matters heard. On the summary of the audit outcomes, Chair, we have maintained our unqualified audit opinion, which we welcome very much. However, we do have some areas where we've regressed a bit, especially on matters of compliance with procurement and contract management. But however, from a performance management perspective, we have maintained our good unqualified with no material findings. On procurement and contract management, we've been plagued by our lease contract, which was found to be irregular. So as we pay our rentals, that particular expenditure increases. That has seen an increase in our irregular expenditure amount. Therefore, that's why there's a bit of a regression there. But we have remedied the situation to get the courts to have that contract set aside. We also had an issue with our part-time adjudicators in terms of how these are recruited. The AG would like us to also do a benchmarking with other quasi-judicial institutions like ourselves to ensure that our recruitment process is done appropriately and in line with, it is in line with the CISOS Act, but also to cover issues around SARS and ensuring that these independent contractors are compliant. So that's what has increased also in our irregular expenditure under investigation. It will be reassessed in the financial year that we are currently in. So our annual report, as well as the AFS, we have some material findings there because of the number of adjustments we had to process, especially around our debtors book, where we had to write off certain debtors or provide rather for impairment of debtors for those schemes that have been long outstanding in terms of payment of levies. However, we have maintained our good status with regards to asset management. And we've improved, Chair, to note on consequence management. So we are not taking these issues of irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure lightly. We have implemented quite a few matters on consequence management, and that has seen an improvement, and AG has noted some of the strides we've done towards that. There were no limitations of scope. I guess, Chair, those were resolved within the audit. And we are clear on conflicts of interest in terms of anyone doing business with government within the CISOS. We do not have those kinds of expenditures. However, the material non-compliance in areas, as I've touched on, as you'll see there in item 63, were the irregular expenditures that have increased and as a result has been disclosed in the financial statements. The deficiencies that led to some of these material findings, Chair, was the timely record keeping. This is the record keeping of schemes data as well as billing information and some of the bids and tender information. This we hope will be remedied by our electronic document management system that we intend and envisage to implement in the current year so that all our records are easily accessible and in one area. And that has resulted in us with the AG language not preparing regular and accurate and complete financial statements supported by evidence at the right time or reliable information because of the struggle to collate all of this during the audit period. And Chair, on the SCM legislation, unfair elimination of some of the bidders as a result of some of these issues that came into play with the new regulations. However, we also have non-compliance in these areas of irregular expenditure, as highlighted, Chair, that it had increased in the current year. So for as long as the contract is running, you have to recognize the irregular expenditure as it goes on in the financial year. So our outcome is unqualified. It remains stagnant from the prior. We are hoping that while looking at the audit action plan that we have put together, we should be able to clear these material findings and hopefully be back on track on our way for a clean audit. However, matters that affected the audit report this time around were matters around material misstatements. So these were the journals and adjustments we had to do under these line items of liabilities, revenue and expenditure, as well as disclosure items. And the material findings on procurement and contract management, as I've highlighted earlier, those matters that are under irregular expenditure. And that touches on the other leg, which is expenditure management, because it's a double entry. However, material findings on revenue management were that on the supporting documents. We were moving from a manual system. We're now on an electronic management system with the CISOS Connect. So we are hoping to improve on those particular findings as the system rolls out the different modules. Other important matters that AG highlighted is that we need to ensure that we review our draft APPs, the draft 2023 and 24 APP. There was a high vacancy rate in the organizational structure, and the chair has touched on the fact that we finalized the OD and we will be appointing staff as we go along. So we'll see this high vacancy rate reduce in this new financial year that we're in. And other findings on revenue, payables and expenditure, as well as the disclosure items, will be dealt with in our audit action plan. So our remedial audit action plan on a high level will cover the remedial action, which will be processing through the board as well as the audit and risk committee to be monitored on a monthly basis. So we do have a monitoring mechanism in the form of MENCO, and on a quarterly basis, EXCO. We have identified the root causes. So we've gone through an exercise after the audit where we had a workshop to identify the root causes so that our plans are dealing with the actual problem that was identified. The impairment policy will be amended. These are the material adjustments that were on the revenue, as I had highlighted, that we need to look at those schemes that are long outstanding in terms of levies and see how we impair them going forward. But we are having an initiative that is underway to deal with the completeness of our scheme universe. So all the schemes in South Africa will be busy with the verification and validation project to make sure that they are registered and compliant with the CISOs. So we are starting to issue schemes with non-compliance letters. This is a new unit that has been established with the OD process. We have compliance and investigative officers that are now going to these schemes and issuing non-compliance certificates in areas where we've received complaints and where they are not registered with the CISOs. So monthly reporting of the planned progress of targets will be continued to be implemented. We do have chair the loss control committee, which has been established. This is assisting us, especially with dealing with consequence management for matters of irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And filling of vacant critical posts is ongoing, and we should be able to deal with the high vacancy rate. Chair, that brings us to the end of our presentation as the CISOs. I will go back and hand over to the chairperson of the board for any closing remarks, and we will take your guidance on questions.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mbatha. Chair, that brings us to the end of our annual performance report. We request that the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee notes it and approves it. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair Siso, Chair and the CEO. And one should actually even congratulate you for hosting Indaba, where we were invited as members of the Portfolio Committee, and we were able to understand and learn more about your work. Thank you very much. I'll now invite members to interact with the presentation as presented by all our entities. Initially, GM shared your cut. I'm not sure whether you'd want to say something before we go into.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm looking at the time now. It's we have an hour according to the agenda. I think we should start with responses, then we come later, if you allow me, Chair, to do so. But I wanted to correct something before I hand over to for responses, that we're no longer saying people living with disabilities. They get angry if we say people living with disabilities. We say persons living with disabilities. So I will suggest that if you find a chance, please change it to persons living with disabilities. Thank you very much, Chair. I suggest that they respond, and then we'll come later. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Let me note, hands, honourable members. Wow, I don't see any hands.
Members are satisfied. I don't see any hands.
The hand and, from the Malimaja chair.
Oh, okay. Mr. Malimaja.
Seki.
Seki, proceed, Honorable Malimaja.
Thank you, Chair. Deputy Minister, colleagues, entities, let me take this opportunity to welcome the presentations, and as Feather says, it shows that people are hard at work. So to change the life and the living conditions of our masses and to transform the country from what it used to be and better the lives of our people. Chairperson, allow me to start with the CISOs. We really welcome their hardworking achievements, and we understand that it was truly because they have learned from the past, and what makes us more happier is the manner in which they are dealing with the executive managing agency by ensuring that they pull everybody, including women. We therefore want to know from them what is their strategy in ensuring that they extend that to include persons living with disability correctly as said by DM and the youth themselves, bearing in mind that we are very happy where you touch women, and we say job well done, keep doing that. We said that saying we are touched by the satellites. Let them share with us the strategy of them reaching other rural provinces so that their job go vast and we are happy. Chairperson, it will be very much wrong if we don't applaud them for their turnaround time, especially the 30 days. I think they've done very well. We must really applaud them. Equally so, it is their remedial action plan to address audit findings. That's excellent. And we really applaud them for them. PPRA, we are very happy, especially with all the vacancies that you filled. We push to let you finish up the CEO matter where you did not perform well. It is understood. It's not just one single stream. You are dealing with three streams. Obviously, there will be here and there. Allow me, Chair, to let them share with us how best are they going to rectify, especially the findings, in ensuring that they go for clean audits, as they are known to be doing good. These challenges which they raised here, they are easy, they can be corrected. Now, let them share with us how best are they going to deal with this. HDA, thank you so much. From under administration, job well done. We are also touched and happy when we realize that the issue of CEO, CFO is done. Your audit report from 26 to 74, job well done. But we're also touched that when you come here and we share the strategy of how to deal with the findings, you were very fast to apply the consequence management. Now you are reaping the fruits of that. I think, Chairperson, these are the things that one can be proud to say. The human settlement is doing its best. Of course, when you are in process, when you are working, there will be this and that, but all in all, Chairperson, one is a bit satisfied. Job well done. We're really happy with what that's happening, and we think it's going to continue happening this way. Thank you so much, Chair. Thank you.
Comrade Zek, Honorable Puta, Honorable Butas. We have lost Honorable Butas. Honorable Dr. Khumalo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues, and thank you for all the presentations. I hope I'll be audible and not get cut off. For some reason, I've been struggling with my network. But I'll try and also maybe in that light, try and be brief in my questions. I'll maybe start with HDA. My questions are around the irregular expenditure matter. Just to find out what the consequences were, we were told, it was reported and presented to us that there was a consequence management process that was underway or that has taken place. And the presenter has also mentioned that the issue was resolved, meaning that there has been outcomes. So if we can get clear details on what those consequences were, and to the extent in terms of the number of people that were disciplined in with regards to that irregular expenditure. I also want to maybe just find out about the toilet as well. We understand that a new service provider is obviously being has been to do the job properly appointed. I just wanted to find out what happened to the previous company and what were the cost implications in terms of the old company that was appointed to do the work, just to find out the implications of the cost. I think we are well aware of the human right violation in that regard, of course, which is very disheartening. And then with PPRA, my question, Chair, I think there's very little to admire with PPRA, Chairperson, and looking at the presentation, very, very little to admire. The vacancies that, are being mentioned as being a challenge. And we see in the report also that there's been vacancies that the entity hasn't been able to fill for over a year. And that there's also been disciplinary processes happening in within the HR space there. I'm wondering whether or not there's been any consequences in this regard, because there are people hired to hire people or to undertake the human resource function. And I'm just wondering who's taking accountability there. And then can we also get details of the suspension? I'm not sure if I may have dropped off in the meeting because of my network, but if I can just maybe get more light into the extent of the charges or what the charges were related to that suspension. And also, Chairperson, maybe also to make a recommendation in terms of as far as PPRA is concerned, because none of us can be satisfied with the report that has been presented to us. I wanted to find out if there's a turnaround strategy. I have heard in the presentation certain mitigation plans being mentioned here and there and what the challenges were. But I do think this calls for the committee to perhaps have time. I think also the Auditor General also does recommend this, that the entity present to us a turnaround strategy and that we look at it and monitor it on probably not even a quarterly basis, because that is happening, but that is not seemingly making a huge impact. I mean, the transformation, 0% performance. And I also wanted to find out the plans around the SEP system that's been problematic. I think in my experience, being in government or an executive in government, we do know that the SEP system tends to have some issues and it is a complicated thing to resolve. But I wanted to find out if they are really, really well on their way and confident, or are considering using another application for that function that SEP at the currently is fulfilling. CISOS, Chair, I would like to commend the training and education. In terms of the performance in that space, it's really maybe because of a passion of mine, but I really just congratulate the entity on performing so greatly in that space. But in relation to the underperformance of the expenditure budget, we acknowledge what the entity the commitment the entity is making, and look forward to them really turning things around in that regard. With the irregular expenditure chair, and we get that they're setting aside the contract, what I wanted to find out is what consequences again that have been instituted as a result of that particular contractor. And we also welcome Chairperson from CSOS, the recommendation for best practice exercise in terms of resolving the irregular expenditure. And it's something I have said on numerous occasions that we need to see entities and the department and the provinces and at local level doing this best practice, because I think it is one of the pivotal strategies that will get underperformance, improve rather, underperformance. But without wasting a lot of time, seeing as we've got less than an hour, I will end there, Chair, and allow other members to make contributions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mkhithi. Honorable Seki is not yet back. Honorable Mkhithi.
Thank you very much, Chair, and a very good day to honorable members as well as the various officials from the different entities. Chair, I would like to start by to welcome the presentations, the three presentations that we've received thus far, and to maybe begin my inputs with CSOS. I think, Chair, together with you, just to echo your words, we do definitely appreciate the summit that took place to really, you know, inform us what the work of CSOS is and how it operates. And so I do appreciate the invitation that we did receive at that particular point. But Chair, I must say that I am very disappointed in CSOS. I'm very disappointed in the manner in which CSOS communicates with people who need help, with people that reach out to CSOS to receive assistance. The communication is very bad. It is very bad. And I've written to so many people at CSOS, and I've really never received any assistance whatsoever. I've received numerous complaints, Chair, that I've directed to CSOS. And up till this moment, I've still not received any form of correspondence from CSOS, any attempt to assist the people that are really requiring them to assist. And I just wanted to make that point, Chair, because it really, really, really is unfortunate to attend a conference like we did, but then much later on to receive various correspondence from people who, one, never hear back on their adjudications, never receive any form of correspondence or even just an acknowledgement of their queries from CSOS. I think really that is not the way we should be conducting things, particularly to people who really need assistance from CSOS. So I just wanted to make that point, Chair. The second point I want to make is I do note the fact that adjudications are at 68%. I don't think this is good enough. I think we need to do more to increase this particular number. I think this also reflects to the manner in which people have been trying to receive assistance from CSOS and don't receive it. And these numbers, I would really like to understand how they came about. That would be something I'd really appreciate to know. Again, maybe the vacancy rate has a lot to do with the lack of response from CSOS to people who seek their assistance. The vacancy rate has increased by 11.4%. Whether this is a show of the lack of response that CSOS has, I mean, it's something that one would have to understand and it would have to be explained. Thirdly, I just want to understand, the minister made a point a month or so back about community schemes utilizing BEE, EEE services in regards to gardening and security. And I did not hear anything from CSOS around those comments. What is CSOS' view on that particular point made by the minister? And how is CISOS responding to community schemes across the country that have tried to receive clarity on this particular issue, have tried to find out what is the stance of CISOS around these comments that were made by the minister? Can CISOS please respond to that? Fourthly, I think the decline in the target achievement is worrisome, but maybe that is related to the vacancy rate. Can we just have a much clearer explanation around that? And then the CISOS Connect platform experiencing the system failures. What is the update on that? And what interventions have been made to ensure that the system is operating fully and is able to assist people who are on it? Chair, I move on to the PPRA. Again, I'm a bit concerned about how the PPRA is managing its cases. I'd really like to know how what is the percentages of some of the queries that they receive and the case management that they receive. How do they handle it? What is the percentages around that? Because I've forwarded a case to PPRA that was submitted in April of this year, and up to date, there's nothing that has taken place with that particular case. Instead, the person has been thrown pillar to post by the PPRA, and you know, there's not even much of a response. So can we just have an understanding around how exactly these issues are really being dealt with? Around the Auditor General's recommendation, I'm aware that there was a investigation report that was made available on the 23rd of August, 2022. Can we just have an update? I'd really like to receive that report as a recommendation, because I think the Auditor General's recommendation around human resource and supply chain management is really something that should be concerning the PPRA. And the mitigating and interventions that they've put through in terms of that report, who got fired? Who was removed from their post for acting in a way that was not acceptable? That report is very important for me to be able to understand. Again, there's ICT system failures and delays here. What is the update on that? How far are we in ensuring that those systems are operating when people do need to access them? Chair, I'll stop there. Thank you.
Honorable Seki, you are back.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let's acknowledge the presentation. I want to start where Comrade Malemach has started, acknowledging the importance of these institutions of the state, the entities of the department, as institutions that are very central to the transformation of our society. CISOS workshop, Chair, as you acknowledged it, has shown to us that there's a big potential for transformation. And I think CISOS must develop a program to make sure that they are talking almost the same language with these institutions in the real estate for them to recognize transformation, that Africans must also play a role in the estate agent, in the property sector. Generally, the performance of CISOs, it's quite convincing that they are on the right direction. The performance of PRACH, I'm worried. The opening statement of the chairperson versus the performance, I think the chairperson brings the historical existence of this organization, where they come from. But their performance are not showing that they are out of the woods based on what he has said. And I think we should also graduate from the history. and move with the status of where we are and deal with issues that are hindering performance rather than always being on the history of the institution, because that may delay progress. I must say, I don't see and hear any convincing areas on the poor performance they've reflected against the target.
We have lost Comrade Honorable Zeki again. Honorable Makaseni, we have lost you too. Mr. Kwai, you can come in.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members.
Ms. Nancy, so Khalil, I'm back, sorry.
Okay, fine.
Honorable Kwai is not chairing the meeting, Honorable Butters, and has not given herself a platform. It's me who have given her.
Okay, no, it's fine. She was left with one question, but it's
no,
fine.
No, no, just proceed, finish, Honorable Six.
Okay. Now, the last question was on the HDA chair. HDA, if you remember the last 2 years, they were really trying to find themselves, in order out of the serious poor performance of the previous years. Are they now convinced that they are on the right track, the history is out of the way, they are now moving forward according to the expectations of the Auditor General and all other institutions that support transformation and democracy? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Sikwai. Let's see whether Honorable Makaseni is not there. Honorable Sikwai.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honorable Chair. And greetings to the Honorable members, the DM in the platform, and all entities present. I just want to say, housing by its nature, it's an emotional issue. Very, very emotive. We get to know on how people are eager to get houses and get their problems to be resolved. And that gives us energy for us to make things happen. And the establishment of entities is government trying to professionalize the human settlement field to touch base with the areas where departments cannot touch. It's very important that entities should take their work very serious as I listen to the presentation, because you should know that to make things happen, it takes a lot of processes, a lot of business processes and engaging and portray a leadership to the people that you are leading. It's not an easy thing, we know. It's not an easy thing. Then continue to do your good work, but know that you are leading people, and at the same time, you have got communities that have got high expectations. Malega, you must run to make those things to happen. Coming to CISOs, CISOs has presented a very important objective of establishing satellite offices where there are disputes. But I want to encourage CISOs to what was our request, that please decentralize your work so that you arrived in different areas. I come from the Eastern Cape. I still want to hear, have you arrived in the Eastern Cape? Because it's an interesting program of capacitating people to do their work. I want to encourage that. Please ensure that you don't leave other people outside your program. The second issue is appreciating the workshop that we attended. And we listen in practice what CISOs is doing. We were at work there. But just to remind CISOs that in that training, you had very clear protesting stakeholders. The protest was huge on different forms, on different forms. How I wish that perhaps we could be able to establish a turnaround strategy to address those issues. It may happen that you have heard things that you are not dealing with for the first time, but the participants, the stakeholders, they were up in arms with CISOs. With that, you have a strategy to deal with those issues. Don't leave them being unattended. And the emotion was high in some of the stakeholders. Please address those so that you tranquilize your program well. But you are doing very well, and we appreciated our attendance because it clarified a lot of issues which some of us we didn't understand. PPRA. On finish up CISOs. CISOs, please. You have overachieved in terms of your targets. That means you have underscored your capabilities. We as government, we want you to have more targets, if you may. Consider to review your targets, given the capabilities that you showed in overachievement of the targets. Now we want that overachievement. It's not about number games. It's about the practical issues, how you address community challenges. PPRA, perhaps PPRA maybe needs to be told by us as a committee where you come from. It's important that we remind you where you come from as the committee and the department. And also don't think that we're forgotten the road that you have traveled up to now. It's impressive to hear that you have managed to populate your organogram in a manner that's going to ensure a good performance in the entity. And that's where it starts, because you cannot perform when you do not have a stable structure. As an entity, we really appreciate the employment that we've made, more especially at the management level, so that you are able to focus on the program performance at hand. I listened to targets that are not achieved, which some are very critical. The issue of the skills transfer impacting to SMMEs in the property management. It was another issue when we, where you coming from. Because this issue is a transformation issue. It means you are in the center to build the capacities of those people that want to impact on the lives of the people. Please establish a strategy to address this. It was a cry, it was a big issue when you started. This year, it should not be one of those. It should be on the prime consideration in your program. I listened when you were presenting your targets. They are in red. Consider that so that you are able to assist those people that live in crisis. Thank you, Chair. Those are the few issues that I wanted to raise. I've got nothing more on HDI. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Makasen is not here. Thank you very much, honorable members. Just to join members, welcome on the report, and appreciate the work that has been done, and and congratulate those entities that has achieved unqualified report, and we'll ask them that they should work on the matters of emphasis by the Auditor General, and so that we get unqualified report without matters. They are just from my side, just few things that are non-negotiable in terms of the presentation and the report of the Auditor General. Maybe one should actually welcome the performance itself on the target for those, for the CISOs, HDA, though prior has not done very well, but one appreciates those performance and encourage that 80%, 40%, not 100% is not enough. It's because the APPs have been drafted by yourself, which you understanding that you will actually implement them. But we want to welcome that you have reached that 80% CISOs, HGA at 70%. And we encourage you to do more. On the revenue, the Auditor General raised the debt collection period was more than 90 days at HDA, CISOs and PRA. So we have to, and even raise that the average collection period of 231 days, which is a concern, as it has potential of the additional strain on the already limited government resources. There should be a mechanism put in place to make sure that we deal with the matters. The second issue is on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure that the entities, CISOs, HDA and FAR that you have actually incurred. We have to limit or do away with the fruitless expenditure and wasteful expenditure because it makes your books very dirty. And one would want to hear what strategies are in place to make sure that we avoid fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And this means that we are not actually implementing the legislation, which is not acceptable. The issue of creditor payment period of 30 days, HDA, FRA and CISOs, you are the culprit. Please work on your system because this is the legislation that you are expected to implement, and because implementing it means that you are empowering particularly the small business entities. So I'll join the honorable members that with pride they would have to come back with your strategy and the audit action plan and go into the details with us, and then and we'll continue to monitor how you implement, and the department present in this meeting should make sure that the action plan as you're going to develop or developed should actually deal with the root cause and monitor the implementation of those action plans. And even make sure that the structures, when we engage the Auditor General on the effectiveness and efficiencies of your audit team and internal audit, it was said that they do their job. It's only management who does not want to implement those issues. And we want the department to monitor this activity very closely and make sure that we do away with those findings. And honorable member has raised the issue on the chemical toilets and the issue of wanting HDA to elaborate on that and welcome your presentation, HDA, because you've done very well under the circumstances where you come from. Under administration, several leadership came in, but today we are speaking a different story, and we want to welcome the work that you have done, the CEO and the chair, and congratulations to that. We will now hand it over to DM to lead us in terms of the response. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. Let me welcome the comments and questions from the honourable members that have been tabled today. And I am going to start by apologising for my network challenges earlier. I am not sure what happened, Chair. I am told that I did not finish what I wanted to say in the morning because of the network. In the interest of time, Chair, I'm going to come at the end. Because I'm looking at the time now, I want to request the entities to respond to questions by honorable members. Then after that, I would give DG then I will come at the end, Chair. Thank you very much. If you allow me, Chair, I will start with the first one to do also to respond to questions. Thank you very much, Chair. HCA, will you come in, please?
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members, for raising some few comments and questions regarding around the issues reported by us as HTA. But I think we will deal with the questions that have been raised on the irregular expenditure by Honorable Khumalo, and also the issue of the chemical toilets. The review of the contract and the cost implications that might have been incurred during the transition from the old contract into the new contract. Maybe I can just ask the CEO to elaborate on the response to that.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, in terms of the consequence management and the number of people that were disciplined, I think maybe it will be proper if I started in terms of just painting a picture. I know it will take a bit of time, but it will assist in terms of the painting the picture, Chair, to say that in the all the financial years, you would remember that we had 2017-18, 2018-19, 2019-20, 2021-22, and 2022-23. So in all of those financial years, we had the number of transactions that were completed. They were all 99 transactions, Chairperson. And then the value of those, of the number of transactions all in all was 181, apologies, but the number of transactions that were completed were 99, but the value thereof was 898 million. And then the value of the transactions that we've completed here today is 755 million, which is almost 84%. So the process of the consequence management is continuing. But what we have done is that the 755 of those that we've completed, we have now sent them to the board and we've sent to the National Treasury for condonation. But in terms of how the process works based on the irregular expenditure framework, is that we needed to investigate and see if there was value for money. And once that has been done, we then can decide whether we take in the process further. So of all of those, Chair, 17.5 million of that was wasteful and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So we will deal with the issue of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure separately, but now we're dealing with the one where we're saying of that amount, the other amount was, there was value for money. So where there was value for money, we took it for to the condonation committee through the loss control committee, and then we did the determination test to check whether there was value for money. So all of those, Chair, have been done. We then appointed a legal firm to go through the process and make sure that we start the process of the disciplinary hearings. So we appointed Chittle Thompson to deal with the matter of the disciplinaries, and then all of those people have been given the letters. Those, some of them, the process is continuing. Those that have been gone through the process, there are six members who have already been found guilty, and then they've been given the final written warnings. There are two of those members who we did a suspension without pay, and then they didn't get paid for their salaries. But all of them, all of those members, what they needed to do, we also had a compulsory supply chain management course that they needed to do. So there are still some, Chair, that they have not finalized, because we're dealing with this matter as we finish the financial year. We finish the financial year, we go for the disciplinary hearing with those matters that have been finished and so forth. So that is where we are in terms of the consequence management process. And then on the chemical toilets, Chair, maybe let me clarify the issue of the chemical toilets. What happened with the chemical toilets is that we appointed companies to do the chemical toilets. The advert was just for chemical toilets, and then in between you have to do chemical toilets plus the honeysuckers. So in our case, the honeysucker process was not advertised. It was only the chemical toilets that was advertised. But then when the process was to start, the realization that chemical toilets will then need for you to have the honeysuckers, then it was then made to be one process, and then it worked on the averages. So because of the averages, what you then do is to say, this is the average of all the companies, we'll take then an average. But once you deal with it from an average point of view, the AG does not look very favorably to the process. So because of that, the companies that were doing the chemical toilets, a member asked as to what are the implications of those costs. So the work has been done, the services was offered. The only challenge from our side was that we used averages. So that's the part that we needed to correct, to say we cannot use averages. That's the part that we needed to correct. But the second issue that we needed to do, that is why we went out on an emergency procurement, was to make sure that we regularize the process and make sure that people then are appointed on the basis of the rate and the rate that as opposed to averaging the rate. Then we were now working on the rates that were given to each one of them, so that we know that these are the rates. So the work in terms of the work done, the work was done. In terms of value for money, the work was done. We can say, because we've got a spreadsheet that shows where they are, where they're working, and then how many loads they've done and so forth. So to that extent, it was done. The only problem was internal as to how the process was managed. So that is why we have now put this matter as an irregular expenditure. We've now appointed the companies and regularized the process. So that's the one part that I thought I needed to clarify from my side. The other issues, Chairperson, there were comments that were raised just to appreciate where we are, and then as to other things that we needed to look at, those were noted. Mr. Seki raised the issue of that are we convinced that as an institution, our performance is now on track. It's a process, Chairperson. Turning around an institution is a process. What we need is to make sure that we continuously make sure that we keep improving. In the first quarter of this financial year, our performance is sitting at 87%. So what we then look at is to say, we always need to be moving up, as the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee said, that we need to strive towards the 100%. So we looked at it from that angle to say, let's see how we perform in the first quarter to see if the trajectory is still the same trajectory of going up. So we're sitting at 87%. So we're quite comfortable, Chair, that we're moving up. When you look also at the matters that were raised by the AG, all of those matters were matters of misstatements, which we have corrected. So we're saying that based on that, we are comfortable, Mr. Teki, that we have turned the tide. We just need to continuously work hard
We are very lucky, Chair, I must say, because it's not been raised. I must say, Chair, that we are very lucky that we've got an extremely very strict and detailed chairperson of the ARC, Ms. Bolton. So even if we can try and lex, she will not allow us. So we know that where we are, before we even get to you, before even we get to the board, she will have been on our case. So we've worked very hard with her because she demands of us that we make sure that we do not regress. So I do not think that we will regress, Mr. Tegi and the chairperson. So on the issues of the debt collection and the fruitless wasteful expenditure, I think maybe CFO, I can leave it to you to also speak on that. But safe to say that I spoke to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure to say we had two matters there, Chair. The other one was the Tabachwe. It was a matter of 2016 of Tabachwe where there was an agreement, a gentleman's agreement between ADA and the municipality of Tabachwe to assist them with their internal services. And then the agreement included that the Department of Human Settlement in Mpumalanga will pay back the costs for HDA, which amounted to 14.5 million. But that was not paid because there was no agreement with the department. And unfortunately, the matter has prescribed, but we have sent it to the board to ask the board for condonation, given that the matter was now sitting in our books for more than 6 years. However, we are also exploring the possibilities of following the money with the department, with the municipality, because they received the services, they had a benefit in terms of their asset register. But unfortunately, you would have known that the Tabachwe municipality is one of the municipalities which are really not doing well financially. So we are caught in between that. So that is where we are with the 14.5. Then the rest of that is the 2.9 million chairperson, which in the main, if you look at the 2.9 of the fruitless expenditure, it was the lease agreements that were done between the HDA for the accommodation. For the offices. It was the leases that were done between the HDA and the department, HDA in Free State and in KZN. We have since corrected that in terms of when do we pay, and the contract has been corrected. But the challenge that we've raised with them is that they should just write off that amount, because the amount was paid. It's just that they would then claim the invoice for interest, and this amount is in the main the genesis of it is the interest, Chairperson. So that's what we're dealing with. We've had a number of meetings with the department, with the landlords, to try and resolve the issue of the interest, and then we seem to be finding each other in terms of how we will deal with the interest. So the other part of the debt collection and the credit, I will leave to the CFO to also come in. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, in terms of the debt collection, mainly if you look at our statement of financial position, all the receivables that we have in the main, I have explained the issue of the 106 million, which is the building. We needed to disclose that because it was still money under the HDA. And also receivables under the projects, the 65 million, as well as the 96 million. Those are the funds that are owed to the HDA at the end of the financial year by the provinces or the municipalities, mainly those where we are implementing the project based on the value creation. So you will find that by the time we closed off the books, therefore we have not received These invoices have been raised, but we have not received those funds. But then in the new financial year, we have received these funds. Chair, I think those were the questions. Thank you.
Number two.
Thank you, Chair. Hello. Let me start by welcoming all the comments that were made by the members and yourself, Chair. And of course, receive well the criticism that was raised on the report that we have tabled, as well as accept the acknowledgement of where we come from and the work that has been done to improve the situation in the entity. Indeed, we strive to graduate from the past to reinstate the stability in the organization and to get it to perform to the level that it is supposed to perform at. So without dealing with each and every member that spoke, allow me to respond to some of the questions and perhaps allow the CEO and the CFO to come in and give details on other matters. So let me start with the issue around the vacancies and the disciplinary processes and the suspensions. And I want to intentionally link that to the forensic investigation. As I indicated earlier on, a forensic investigation was conducted on the basis of the complaints and the directive that we have received. Some of the concerns came from this committee. And that investigation was conducted and concluded. As a result, there were people that were suspended, including the S12 CEO. There were people that were subjected to disciplinary processes. Some have been expelled already, and some are still undergoing the disciplinary process. We know that in this country, we have to respect the law and the processes, despite our views about any issue. And that is exactly what is happening. However, the findings that were contained in the forensic report are being acted upon, and they have been acted upon. And I think through the guidance and permission of the ministry, we should be able to make the report available to this committee just to close the issue, but we will take advice and cue from the minister in that regard. But we are more than willing to make it available. So all those wrongdoings that were uncovered during the forensic investigation were acted upon. Indeed, we do have a turnaround strategy because we knew that when we are going to unravel the status quo, when we are going to dig deep and try to understand issues, the likelihood that there will be a pushback is there, and it's very high, and that we are going to meet things that will shock us dearly. We expected that. Therefore, we anticipated that it will also affect performance, given the fact that there will be a trust deficit between the new leadership as well as the existing staff, therefore low staff morale, and the fact that you are introducing a new piece of legislation with a modified mandate indeed that will make our performance a bit of an uphill. So it was anticipated. And as a result, we had to put in place a turnaround strategy to say, how do we change from this worst performance anticipated and to a certain extent already realized to something that will be better in the future. We are more than happy to come back to the committee and present that strategy. We did highlight in this report today the response plan to the audit findings at the high level. We did indicate what are the things that we intend to do in addressing those issues that were raised by the AGSA. But if the committee so wishes that we come back and provide a detailed presentation on that, I think that should not be a problem for us. I think it can only serve to build confidence that there is work being done and that we are intentional in resolving the issues that we are charged with. So insofar as the vacancies are concerned, it is a fact we no longer have vacancies at an executive level. We had vacancies when we started, and we have implemented interventions. We only are now left with the position of the CEO to fill in, which I already indicated at the beginning of the presentation, that we have advertised and the position closed 2 days ago. We are now in the process of finalizing and appointing the CE. We do, however, have the acting CE, and I must indicate to this committee that this acting CE, as well as the CFO that you have before you today, they joined the organization at that level of acting CE and CFO at the tail end of the financial year. The CE joined, I think, 2 months, almost the end of the financial year, and the CFO came in after the event, in the aftermath. He was only assisting with the audit processes and providing responses to AG according to the information that was provided to him. So that needs to be acknowledged and appreciated, and hence we have taken liberty to appreciate them for the work that they have done so far. And I wish and hope that members will join us in appreciating them for the interventions that have been put in place so far. I've also indicated that in the following financial year, which is the current financial year, things have already started to show an upward improvement. That shows the interventions that we are putting in place are actually assisting the organization moving forward. So perhaps when we come back to present to the committee about the turnaround strategy and the audit response plan, we should also be able to give you an indication of how well we are doing in improving the situation. Therefore, probably the predetermined outcomes of the first few quarters that we've already gone through in the current financial year would assist the situation. I think the issue of the SEB will be dealt with by the CE, as well as the case management processes in the PDRA will be dealt with, but suffice to say that we do have some glitches insofar as the operational management. This may have brought to our attention. As the board, we take time off and we intervene to ensure that these things are indeed resolved. There's quite a number of cases that would have come before us, complaints from the public about receiving poor or not receiving attention, and we would have attended and resolved those issues. And the members of the public, they do come back and say, thank you very much, that assistance has worked a lot. So we have accepted as the board to say, in this period of trying to bring the PPRA up to speed, we must also accept that we have to make ourselves available to try and assist the organization get onto the right track again. The transformation agenda, indeed, we couldn't have agreed with you more, that it is a very important mandate. It is given special attention in the piece of legislation that brings about the PPRA. And it is huge. And what do we understand this mandate to be? It means there must be more participation in the sector, in the selling of properties, in the making of rental space available by Black practitioners, by women practitioners, by young practitioners, by practitioners living with disabilities, by military vets, and so on and so forth. But it also means that there has to be stock made available for them to sell. And the stock doesn't necessarily come from government. It comes from the private sector. It is the homeowner that says, I want to sell my property, and therefore I am giving my property to this person. To sell. Yes.
It's an order.
Okay.
One of the weaknesses of ourselves as parliamentarians is to listen to generalizations. I think questions were very specific, and these general responses are not taking us forward. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, can you just be specific as you give your answers?
Thank you, Chairperson. We'll try and refrain from generalization. I have indicated that the CEO will come in and will deal with more specific issues. But there was a question that was raised particularly on the transformation agenda, and I thought I should address that particular issue. But if it pleases yourself, Chairperson, I will step off that item and perhaps hasten to deal with the specific issues that were raised. I think I have dealt with some of the vacancies. I've dealt with them. The forensic report, I've dealt with that. The suspensions, I've dealt with that. I have dealt with the forensic report, and I've recommitted the organization to graduate from the past. I will then invite the CEO to come in and respond to direct questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. And members. The chairperson of the board did address most of the questions that were raised. But there were questions from Ndade Luyolo and Dr. Khumalo pertaining to the ICT system and the SEB system. In my presentation, I did state that obviously with the appointment of the CIO, we have since been able to finalize the specs for the ERP system, which is PIMS, which is a Property Practitioners Information Management System. The bid is out and it actually closed on Tuesday. So we are just waiting for bidder so that we are able to then obviously follow through with that process. But in the interim, because we couldn't wait for the implementation of the new system, there was a SEB diagnosis that was done so that we are at least able to stabilize the ICT environment, which we have been able to do. So there has been minimal downtime in the last couple of months pertaining to our ICT system. And then another question that was raised by Ndade Luyolo was around just the queries that we received. So I can confidently say that we have addressed all queries pertaining to FFCs, especially the backlog. We are currently addressing current queries around FFCs and not the backlog. And this is for the first time, I don't know in how many years, that we as the entity have been able to do this. So the query that you have forwarded, or the case that you have forwarded, I would just like to know or seek clarity around whether it was a legal and compliance issue But that is a conversation that we can take online, because that is something that I've been intentional about, just the turnaround of the queries pertaining to the practitioners. And then the chairperson did talk to the investigation report, but you had asked specifically who was suspended. I don't have to mention names, but it was obviously issues pertaining to the irregular appointments and the individuals who did not have the requisite qualifications for the roles. We are at the tail end of that process, like the chair had alluded to. The outcomes are done. We are just awaiting two sanctions, which we had promised. Chairpersons have promised that we will receive that before the end of October. I think the chair also spoke around the turnaround strategy, the audit implementation plan, which those reports are readily available. So we'll ensure that we come back to this forum to present them. And then the chair also spoke around just the capacitation or the recruitment process. So I don't have to belabor the point. And then also the question from Dade Malemaja around how are we going to address the findings. The chairperson spoke to that. But members and chairperson, if I may, just invite the CFO so that he can just talk around the strategy on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which we have already implemented, starting to implement. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, CE. Let me just make a comment also with regards to the debtors qualification. There we will follow an holistic approach, so we won't only focus on the qualifications, but also on collections. In short, we need to change how we manage our debtors book. As alluded to earlier, we will interact with the audit committee as well as with the AG on that process. In terms of fruitless and wasteful and irregular expenditure, we have developed a terms of reference for a loss control committee. We will appoint a committee to investigate the matters. We're also looking at proactive measures to prevent the reoccurrence of similar instances going forward. So it's both, or the first emphasis was on preventative measures to make sure that we don't have similar challenges going forward. And then we will also have the backwards looking actions in terms of clearing the existing items and dealing with it in terms of a respective frameworks, the irregular expenditure framework and the fruitless and wasteful expenditure framework. Thank you.
Thank you, CFO. Chair, we'll hand it back over to you, as I believe that we have exhausted all the questions that were posed to the PPRA. Thank you.
Back to you, Chair. Thank you.
Christoph?
Thank you very much, Chair. And like my colleagues, I would like to welcome the comments, especially the positive reinforcements from the members of the portfolio committee. We welcome those. And for comments that were of criticism, we also welcome those. They can only make us grow and do our work better. I'll just hand over in the interest of time to the Acting Chief Ombud to answer the questions that have been posed to us, and we'll have the CFO supplement those if there's need for that. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Through you, Chair of the Portfolio Committee, I'll just touch on all the questions that have been raised, and we'd like to thank you, as the Chair has reiterated, for coming to the Indaba, especially to be seized with the issues of transformation, as was indicated by the Honourable Member, that indeed there's been protests by stakeholders to be heard and have more tailored interventions from our side. I'll start with the correction of the people living with disabilities to persons living with disabilities. We do take that comment. And just to touch on the Chair, that in terms of integrating the work that we do with persons living with disabilities, we have integrated them in our supply chain systems, and we've since appointed an enterprise development service provider that will tap into that particular sector, especially from the SCM point of view, to assist them in responding to our requests that we have from a procurement side, and also integrating them into our EMAs. We just want to confirm that we'll be doing that as well. And looking at our outreach to some of the rural areas, the provinces that we'll be going into, in our strategy, we are looking at three provinces, the KZN, and we will be also going to the following, the Northwest and Mpumalanga. We're looking at opening satellite offices in Balito, in Potchefstroom, as well as Nelspruit, in the coming feasibility study implementation that we'll be doing in the current year. So we are expanding on that with regards to expanding our reach and footprint on the ground. Dr. Kumalo touched on matters of consequence management, and we welcome the comments, especially looking at the areas of under expenditure. We'll be dealing with that. But in terms of consequence management, we have issued written warnings and sanctions for all the people that participated in the bid committees that were responsible for irregular expenditure. And further to that, the matter of the office lease has been to court, and we've done a few suspensions as well in that regard for consequence management, of which disciplinary hearings are underway. And we've also suspended one of the colleagues in the legal unit that were responsible for some of these issues of irregular expenditure. When we look at the matters that have been raised around the communication, indeed there's been an outcry. I mean, even with our reaching out, that some of these cases don't get heard. We are looking deeper into the matter. I would request the Honourable Member Mpiti to probably provide these matters to us so that I can follow them up myself personally. The former Shadow Minister did provide some matters that we are looking into, especially with disputes that have been left cold, because we believe the backlog had been cleared. But those, if there's particular instances, they can be shared with myself for follow-up. We do have SOPs. For instance, if one lodges a dispute, they should be getting a reference number within 3 days, and they should be getting a request for information on the dispute within 5 days. So if there's a gap, they will definitely be attending to that. In the explanation of the vacancy rates, our old structure, the Chair had touched on that we've done an organizational review. The old structure had about 204 positions, and the new structure is about 251. So that tempered with the vacancy rate. Already we had a high vacancy rate on the old structure. But however, I would like to report that it's reduced. I think it's about 30% now in the second quarter. We had advertised about 54 positions, but there's this cost containment measures that we're looking at. So we'll be filling only critical positions that are required for this structure, but we are working towards reducing the vacancy rate. With regards to the numbers on the adjudication numbers, we received over 10,000 matters in the prior, of which 3,762, which is 100% of those matters that have been adjudicated. We've conciliated 5,861. So that gives us that 96% that you see there, which are the audited numbers. So for instance, not all cases that come through end up in adjudication. Some of them get mediated through conciliation. That's why you see there's the different percentages there, but we can delve deeper into the breakdown of those percentages further. When you look at, Chair, the initiatives or the failures in the CISOS Connect system, we are looking at interfacing with other external government systems, for instance, the CIPC. We would like to eliminate any instances of duplications, especially in registrations of new schemes.
So some of that integration elements failed us, but I can report that those have been fixed and the new registrations module is fully functional. We do have some dependencies on the banks. We'd like to integrate with the banks as well so that people, when they pay their levies, they're able to pay them on the platform. So those are some of the system interlinkages that we are working on. But we're hoping that the system should be fully functional, especially with the other areas like governance and tracking. So we are in the system having the CRM. This will be able to eradicate the issue of tracking the cases that have been logged. Actually having an age analysis to say this person has lodged a dispute on this time, it still hasn't been attended to, what are we doing about it? So when you also further look at the issues of transformation, we have provided responses. You'd like some reflection on the remarks that have been made by the Honorable Minister. Although it's a known fact that there's no obligatory mechanism or legislative requirement that compels that kind of transformation, but we are pushing it from our side in terms of the Black Executive Managing Agents, which cover the ethnic groups such as Blacks, Indians, Colored, persons living with disabilities and disadvantaged groups such as women. So this largely remains a voluntary scheme with the current statistics. They imply that we need to engage more and we need to garner the appetite for the historically disadvantaged communities to be part of these schemes. So if we are bringing them in, then they're able to economically participate in the services that happen within the community schemes, such as that gardening, plumbing, and et cetera, that have been mentioned in the minister's speech. So you start by bringing them into the system, and therefore we're hoping to get the traction in that regard. We have developed or signed MOUs with the large-scale managing agents, the big ones such as your Trafalgar, your Preto, your Mid-City, to incubate our previously disadvantaged managing agents such that we have twinning arrangements where they'll be placed in certain schemes, and this aims to empower them to independently then offer their services to these schemes from a transformation point of view. And just to touch on some of the matters that deal with the overachievement of the targets, we've taken note of that and we do welcome the strides that we want to improve and increase that. So we'll be looking at reviewing our targets upwards, especially in areas where we have capacity. And further to that, we are looking at a CRM project, a chair that will deal with some of the matters that have come through the Indaba. Looking at targeted training, as I've indicated, for trustees. We've gotten information from some of those colleagues that were there at the Indaba to include them and incorporate them in our training plans so that we train the trainer and transform the industry accordingly. Chair, let me just check quickly if I have... I believe I have covered the responses. I'll deal with the matter of non-responses, especially if I get the details with regards to that and report back to the committee. A decline in performance matters beyond our control as indicated, but we are working towards remedying those in our audit action plan. I think, Chair, I have covered all the questions and comments in that regard. CFO, do you have any comment on the improvement on our under expenditure, maybe through your chair?
Thanks, Akko, and good afternoon, Chair. Now, Akko, you have covered adequately all the queries that were raised. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll hand back over to yourself. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll then. Before we go to acting DG and GM, just check with members if there is any follow-up questions. Honorable Makasini has not joined. Oh, Honorable Mpiti.
Thanks, Chair. Just to come back just on the 2 points. Relating to responsiveness. The reason why I raised this here, Chair, is because, you know, if I am writing as a member of this committee to these entities and I don't get a response, how much more does it count for people who are actually trying to receive assistance from these entities. I mean, I do receive the offer. I will make hand of it to forward all these correspondence that I've had with the different entities. But I mean, if you really, really look at some of the correspondence that have come through here from various officials in these entities who simply just don't care to either assist or to respond to emails, is something that really needs to be looked into. So I just really like to plead with the entities to please follow up on these issues, because ultimately it does not paint a good picture for these entities and does not allow us to actually defend where necessary when these issues seem to be either frivolous or whatever the case may be, when there's not even a simple response of acknowledgement. And I will forward those cases. I would really like them to ask the officials that have volunteered to take on these cases to please send me their email addresses, because the list that we have been given to forward some of these issues to, those individuals are simply just not responding. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Deputy.
Yes, Chair. We note what Honorable Deputy is saying, and we'll definitely engage with him and send him the relevant email addresses for him to liaise with us. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. But what is important, the essence of what Honorable Chief is saying is that our system should not be waiting for a question to be asked by a member of parliament. The system should be able to respond to any query that comes through. And if I understand the question very well, was that let the CISOs make sure that the assistant in receiving the complaints and queries be of friendly to the customer. I think it's something that we should take it home, Chair and the CEO, which is a valid point. I don't see any other hands. We've lost Honorable Makaseni. We'll then hand it over to Acting DG and then GM.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and greetings once more to the Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, the Chairpersons of the Boards, the CEOs of the entities, and the DM, apologies, and colleagues. Chair, we note the comments and challenges and as well as frustrations that were raised by the honorable members. However, Chair, we do want to actually indicate that from our side as a department, at this point in time, we are comfortable with the progress that has been made by entities. Members would recall where we're coming from with the entities. Now, we're beginning to see stability in the entities since the appointment of the boards and the CEs in some instances. Yes, we're quite aware of the process that is underway with regards to the PPRA in trying to recruit a substantive CE in that space. And we're hoping that once that process has been concluded, Chairperson, we will see greater improvements. We have noted improvements that have been made at this point in time in as far as that entity is concerned. Chair, we have also noted the fact that in all the entities, there has been an expression made by AG in as far as the preparation of the annual financial statements are concerned. They have noted the material misstatements, much as they were corrected at some point in time, which resulted in the unqualified audit opinions in all the entities. However, we do want to express a desire on our side, and we will also assist in making sure that there is great improvement in that space.
All the entities, Chairperson, have prepared what you call the remedial actions or the audit action plans, and they have since started implementing those. We are expecting to see some improvements, and Chair, members would recall, as the CEs were presenting, some of them were even confirming or giving assurance to members that the implementation of those action audit action plans has started yielding results in as far as the first quarter and the second quarter performance is concerned, Chair. So it's a space that we'll be watching and monitoring, but we'll also be providing guidance. There was also a challenge that was raised, or an observation that was made rather by AG, in as far as the compliance level is concerned, is not with all the entities, but there are some entities where there has been challenges raised in as far as compliance is concerned in relation to procurement and contract management. And we do expect that there will be improvement. Chairperson, I think with time, we do expect that all the entities will make progress. And ultimately, what is expected of them, which the minister has expressed with them when she was taken through the annual reports, was to make sure that we all graduate from the unqualified audit opinions to the clean audits. And that is doable, Chairperson. Thank you.
May I come in, Chair?
Yes, yes.
Thank you very much, Chair. Honorable Chair, thanks again to the members for the comments and responses by three entities and acting DG. However, it hasn't been an easy year. To all the ups and downs, there is notable change between where the entities find themselves today versus the time last year. I think we can all agree that they have re-established their footing and are a lot more stable. And Chair, I noticed what the Honourable Pete raised, and I think it's quite important that as a department and you acting DG, make sure that it doesn't happen again. And I will also check and also monitor that and ask the CISOs to actually improve their communications. Even at the PPRA, I agree the worst is over. We used to get, you know, get worried about the performance of PPRA. But today, and I could say they've tried their best, and we noted and accepted the recommendations by members of the committee last week in relation to departments offering support in resolving AG's findings at the entity. We're confident, though, all the members, that the entity is in the right direction. And we accept all the mistakes and all the glitches, and we are going to ourselves as principals, myself and the minister, make sure that these are not repeated. We note also issues all the time, filling of the vacancies. And in South Africa, we have too much of unemployment. We can't afford to have vacancies that are not filled. And also, I want to assure Honorable Pity that I am, because I'm responsible for CISOs. Starting from next week, they will actually make sure that I will go and check their offices myself and check what is happening, why are they not answering calls and all that. And again, Chair, I want to repeat what most of the comments made, especially by Honorable Malachi, Honorable Nancy, and saying thank you very much for your comments that are giving us, and also Honorable Tseki, that we are empowered by all your comments that you're making, and they make us grow. We have listened to all the issues noted by Honorable Members. We undertake to monitor the entities, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. And let me say I'm very happy to work with you. I always say this is my last term in Parliament. But I've been a chair, I've been a whip, and I've never, you know, be exposed to the position that I am today. But I've noticed and I see that you can grow by being told that you're not doing well. And that it makes you grow, because you want to make sure that you want to make sure you want to grow. And all the comments and all the, I wouldn't say criticism, because it's not the right word to do so. But I want to say all the mistakes that you see and all the issues that you've raised, we are noting them. And I do want to say I am so happy where I am. The entities are really improving. And I want to say in my closing, Chair, I don't know how to put it, but the way you help us and all your other members, regardless of the party, all parties, always we are where we are today because of you. Whether sometimes you are angry with us, but at the end, we succeed through what you are telling us. With those two, with those few words, all the members, I would like to say thank you very much. I know we're supposed to be out here at 1 o'clock. I mean, at 12 o'clock, according to the agenda. But it's 1 o'clock. We are still going to do other things, and I want to say sorry for taking a lot of time and your time. And thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and the members of Parliament.
Thank you very much, GM and the team. As we close this, because this is the last entities to interact as part of the BRRR, we have noted the Auditor General's report and the presentation from the entities and the department, and welcome, of course, the portfolio's improvement, including the entities adding to unqualified reports on the entities. HDA joined the rest and the CISOs improved in the previous financial year, and now we can see that there is a program, and acknowledging even the unqualified audit on the property sector transformation fund though the property, the PPRA got disqualified, but there is a significant change, and the Fidelity Fund unqualified. This is the process that shows that the sector is moving towards the correct direction. And out of 9 provinces, you have 7 provinces got unqualified, and the remaining provinces, we request that the department should work hard to assist them, and with the PPRA to make sure that they join the rest, and this sector could then be able to deliver the mandate as required by the constitution. As Honorable Sefai has indicated, that human settlement is one of the portfolio committees that deals with emotions and putting a roof over a people is very critical, because it's a requirement that our constitution allow us to do, and we will indeed monitor the implementation of all the findings of the Auditor General through those audit action plans. And Auditor General raised a critical matter that audit action plans are done, but you then continue to have management not implementing those issues as identified by the internal auditors and audit committees. We want to urge management and the board and to make sure that we take serious about these issues that have been raised by Auditor General, and we don't in the next financial year we don't get findings that are repeated, and we hope that the department will even assess all the action plans to make sure that those action plans address the root causes, because if you deal with the root causes, then we will then not actually repeat some of the findings. With that, we want to appreciate and welcome the performance of the sector in general, and we hope all the issues that are outstanding, all of us should worry that we are disservicing our people by not actually dealing with the matters that are raised by the Auditor General, because all those issues, if it's raised by a person raised fruitless and wasteful expenditure to a person on the street, people will worry that our money are not being taken care properly. So it will be important that we implement all these findings and comply with the legislation. Because if you are not complying with this legislation, you are not complying with us as Parliament, because these are the legislation that passed by ourselves on behalf of our people. And we hope that things will improve for the better as we go in the next financial year. And thank you very much, Chairperson, for the good work, and the CEOs. And we hope that all the remaining vacancies can be filled with speed, and DM the assignment that we have given yourself on the, that it cannot be correct that when you have, if you lose one executive in the system, the organization deteriorates. When you have acting people who are earning the salary of acting, though we know that some people might be afraid of taking decisions because they are acting, but we have to strengthen our mechanism or to make sure that people who accept to act, they must know the implication of that, and strengthen the contract with them so that we don't lose one person and the organization deteriorate. It's unacceptable. With those words, thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Bye.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, bye.
Thank you, Chair.